What is up, everybody? This is Marshall from Limited Resources, and you are listening to Seven Land Hand.
It's Seven Land Hand!
Woo-hoo!
Extra, extra! Brought to you by Good Game St. James. Apologies, Chinese Zodiac fans. We're calling an end to the Year of the Sheep. 2015 is the Year of the Dragon. Specifically, Dragons of Tarkir. Katie K's promiscuous sister, Dirty K, has landed. And on the back of Toothless, I mean Salungar. Mother of all dragons, winter is coming. And autumn brings with it a brand new Seven Land Hand spoiler show. Special. Oh my goodness. Is this table levitating? Are we just really excited about the new set? Today's triad of Tarkir is Misthoof, Kian, DeVries, Turnell.
Sup?
You know, the Kieran's back.
Yeah, it's like a flaming goat now. It's like on fire and exploding.
That's you. It's practically what I'm staring at across the table. Rob Gurmag Grimsey.
How are we doing, guys?
Yeah, yeah, we're good. And Sarkin's lunch lady, Riley Evarts.
Only every other week.
That is a card. It was one of Kev Walker's that got banned. More on that later. How are we, everyone?
Yeah, yeah, pretty good.
Look at this. Glad to be here. Four people for a magic pod.
I hear this game's going to be big. Magic.
It is. Magic's going to
be
good.
Combined wisdom. Let's see it. Can it be four times as good? I don't know. Let's see.
We haven't seen Kian for a while. What have you been up to?
Hearthstone, Magic, and Star Realms. That Star game is fantastic.
Coming up soon.
Rob set me on that. Star Realms, and yeah. Oh, man. I just can't stop playing. And I'm so terrible. I lose every time. I got the game online and my win rate is like 28% or something over like 40 games. And I still love it and I don't know why.
Our board games team's going to be playing it hard over the next few months to try and get the hang of that. So is it a new duress card I notice in the new set, just looking ahead. Is any modifications to your stupid game, Kian?
The game kind of died, and it's not stupid. For those of you who don't know, the Duress game, a bunch of us, as a joke, just kind of like signed it at a GP, and the idea was whatever someone had in their hands, you could just like duress them, and they gave it to you, and then you gave them the duress. The like most notable duresses have been at 4 o'clock in the morning when I just won my first game day, I got duressed from my playmat. That's the most memorable one. Someone tried to duress Paul Jackson's GP win trophy, but Paul was like, yeah, no, I'm out.
Yeah, I think so. All right, I sense that Kian's about to tell an anecdote, so I'll swiftly move on.
Decision.
We've got a lot to get through. We've got new mechanics, new cycles, all the colours. We're not going to do every card. We'll just do our favourite hits from the new set. So might as well blob here.
Welcome to Dragons of Tarkir. You get a dragon, you get a dragon. Dragons everywhere. Dragons for your mum, dragons for your child. Dragons for your loved ones.
Ah, dragons for your loved ones.
Oh, I like that child and loved ones was separate there as well. It's like your child and the ones you actually love as well.
Well, you want to make sure you get a smaller dragon for your child and you can get a big dragon for your partner.
Fair, like fair. A drake.
Oh, we have new mechanics. So let's start off with a new mechanic that isn't
dragon.
New. Rebound!
Yeah,
guess
rebound.
What? Rebound somehow came back.
Oh.
Ah, see what
rebounded?
It rebounded. Yeah. What's rebound doing?
When you cast a spell, they're always non-creature spells. You exile it when it resolves instead of putting it into your graveyard. And then at the beginning of your next upkeep, it casts again for free. And then goes to your graveyard.
Ah, so you get it twice. Does this mean that they're all more expensively costed?
They are all incredibly expensively costed, unfortunately.
And have they got amazing effects?
No.
There's actually not even that many. Like, I saw Rebound was coming back, and I was like, yes, this is going to be super cool. And there's only
Rebound,
like a few
like
cards.
There's like 3 or 4 cards with it.
There's I think I counted, and it was like 11, which is an exceedingly small number.
Yeah.
But how many of those 11 would you ever play in a deck? That's
one.
The thing. Which one do you reckon?
The, like,
the
plus
one?
Two plus two.
Really? Yeah. Maybe the one that makes the two guys?
It doesn't. It makes one guy.
Anyway.
And then again.
264 cards, 11 of them are rebound.
No. I get that. When I looked through the full spoiler, and I had a look at how many of those cards there were, I suspect there was a lot more in development at some stage. We'll probably get an article about it in a month or two, but they were just too good.
Yeah.
Because, like, a single card being able to affect the board twice is insanely powerful. Like, you do have to be careful. You know, there hasn't been many rebound cards, but some of them are really good. Like, if there was just 2-mana instant draw a card rebound, like, that card would be busted.
Just get two cards. Just get two cards.
If there was a way to give your spells rebound.
But I mean, this is the same guys that designed using the Delve mechanic, that designed Treasure Cruise and Tassigar and stuff. So they're not about taking it easy on mechanics.
These guys, like, they designed Treasure Cruise and they were like, it's fine, it's not broken, and they were wrong.
They should have given it Rebound. Treasure Cruise Rebound. That's what
maybe
I
want to say. Do you think an indication would, if Rebound was going to be stronger, are there any cards that deal with exiled spells or exiled cards?
Not anymore. No.
Because if it was a really powerful rebound card, you'd expect it to be a really powerful.
I mean, you can deal with
destroy
it, right?
The exiled card.
But you have to counter it either the first time, or if it slips through your net, you have to counter it the second time.
You throw a mana away, don't you? I suppose.
I've given rebound to Treasure Cruise, and it was the best thing
I've ever done. Does it rebound if you counter the first one anyway? Like, is it like Cascade? No. Okay.
No. But like, imagine if you like a 3-mana shock with rebound, like, that's probably too good. Yeah. Like, in terms of, like, even constructed, that card might be too good.
Yeah, but
because
like
you just go, like, you know, they play Rebel Master, you rebound it, you kill it, and then, like, the next turn you just, like, there's just this shock hovering over the board. Your opponent knows you have
it. I'm not going to cast that creature card because he's just going to kill us, and it's just only, yeah.
One of the most terrifying things I've done in testing against my opponent was I played Narset. The next turn, I ticked it down, and I played End Hostilities. And my opponent just looked at me and was like, I'm dead, and scooped. Because, like, everything he had died, and it was, like, 4 creatures. And he knew that if he played anything the next turn, he was going to die again. And, like, that is a terrifying feeling.
He says it's the most terrifying thing he's ever done, but general consensus on the tournament, local tournament play, is that time that he tweaked his nipple
I've never done that.
Memorable. That was memorable.
Never. That was terrible. Photos. Yeah. There's photos. Anyway.
Yeah.
Megamorph! children's TV
like
show?
On Facebook, I would release
it's
the photos.
Morph in time.
Megamorph. It's
Megamorph in
Marvel's new evil.
The best thing about this mechanic is that there is a cycle of Power Rangers, basically, that all have Megamorph. They're all rare, and they're all really good.
Can you build a Theros-type Voltron out of them?
I don't think so. No,
okay.
Unfortunately not.
There ends the analogy.
I cannot even begin to imagine how much mana it would take to assemble and fit all of the, like, the cycle.
So how does Megamorph work, then, Ken?
It's very similar to Morph in that for 3 mana, you put the thing down. But as part of the process of flipping it up, you put a 1-1 counter on it. So a lot of the Megamorph creatures' stats are not as good as you would like, but when you flip them up, they get a lot better. There's a cycle of dragons, which we'll probably talk about later, which all have Megamorph, and when you flip them up, they put a 1-1 counter on each other dragon you control.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there's a lot of cards that now have flip-up abilities, and they got rid of the Morph. The Morph's, like, stats and what that looks like have been tweaked a bit, so it feels radically different to what we're used to, which is good, but it's a stupid name.
So what do you think the benefit is? Instead of flipping up a 4-6 dragon, why not just make... Oh, and now it's a 3-5, and it gets +1/+1 counter on it.
Yeah.
What's the design advantage there? Why not just make it one tougher to begin with?
Well, I think they want to try and do more interesting things than just, here's another creature.
Yeah.
But the other difference between this and Morph is that while you can flip up a Morph for less than the creature's full mana cost, Megamorph, I think, invariably costs more to flip
not
over.
Not always, but sometimes.
A couple of exceptions, but mostly, yeah.
Right, and then gets a 1-1 counter and sometimes also does something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot more flip-up effects in this set than there were previously. Which does make your manifest really good.
I want to see some flip-down effects. I want to see some more flip-over someone's creature again. So it's not a morph. That would be great.
Are we looking at Megamorphs for value, then? If we're thinking rebounds too expensive on a whole, no?
It's a lot of mana.
Some good ones. I mean, that Den Protector, the effectively the reprint of Eternal Witness, that whenever it costs two, or you can morph it for three and then flip it up for two, I think, and you can return a card from graveyard to hand. So good.
Yeah. There's a lot, like the Power Ranger cycle, which is what Den Protector is from. Hmm. They are very good. A lot of them are going to see constructive play, which is really, it's probably what you want. Like when you have a special cycle that shows off your new mechanic, you probably want to push them a little bit, and they have. And, you know, there's the Megamorph Dragons, and, you know, they're really good because they're dragons. So, like, they're not good because of Megamorph, they're just dragons, and dragons are always good in Limited. And, you know, because dragons always have evasion and always have big bodies.
Yeah.
So they're just smashing your opponent's face with flying.
Great. Exploit. That's mechanic number three. What's Exploit about, Rob?
So Exploit is when we play the creature and it has exploit, you can choose to sacrifice another creature that's in play, and if you do, then you get some sort of effect. So the most noticeable one is the 5-cost black executioner that costs 2 black and 3 colorless, and when you play it, you can choose to exploit, so sac itself or another creature, and if you do, you can search your library for any card and put it straight into your hand. So worst case, it's like a 5-mana tutor, so play it for 5, sacrifice itself on an empty board. Search your deck for your best card in Limited.
Your deck?
Play it out.
Did you say your deck or your graveyard?
Oh,
are
your
you
deck.
Talking about
your deck.
Sidisi?
Is it? Yeah, Sidisi, sorry.
Yeah, Sidisi is.
I mean, Sidisi is a 5-mana 4/6 with Death Touch.
Yeah,
that's
I'm saying worst case.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the blue one that counters a spell when you exploit with it.
Creature spell, not spell.
Oh, creature spell.
I got
spell.
Super excited when I first read it. And then I reread it because I was like, that would be way too good.
So DC Undead Vizier.
That's the one.
Death Touch. Well, let's see. So he's a 3/2 swamps for a legendary creature. The 4/6 body. He's got Death Touch. He's got Exploit. When Sadisi exploits a creature, you may search your library for a card, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. Yeah.
Yeah, the Exploit is an option, which means better players are always going to, you know, be able to abuse it the most. But it's optional, which is nice. Like, previously when they've done mechanics like this, they haven't been optional. Like, it's been, you know, when this enters the battlefield, sacrifice a thing and then do a thing. Whereas you can choose this time. And the mechanic's sweet. It's not seen on a huge amount of cards, but the cards all have very powerful effects, as they should, because you are sacrificing a dude.
Yeah.
One time they got that hilariously wrong. There's a card that's in Legacy, I think once or twice. It's a bird, basically. And it has, when this thing comes into play, pay 3 mana. There's no downside to not paying 3 mana. It just says pay 3 mana. So you just play it and don't pay the 3 mana, and you've got your bird.
Oh, wow.
So they've learned since then. Yeah. Good.
Formidable. What have we got there, Riley?
Yeah.
Formidable,
so these
mechanic.
Extra, like ferocious on cards from Fate Reforged.
Yeah,
but these only activate if you have a total power in play of 8 or more.
Okay, that's an interesting angle. I haven't thought of that one before.
Yeah, I don't know how useful this mechanic is outside of the green ramp stuff deck that exists.
But, so, for Constructed, this is iffy at best. There's a couple of like good formidable cards, but they already have like 5 power, so you only need like 3 to 4
like
more.
Surak?
Yeah.
The best one.
But for Limited, this mechanic might be surprisingly good. So this mechanic,
you
does
think 8 power is doable in
so because it's split across your whole board. So 8 power in one creature, you have 2 2-3-3s and you know one morph out, and then you've got enough.
Often when you've been watching or playing have you managed to get 8 power in play in one go and not winning?
Have you ever played
a
green versus green
match?
No,
that's what I'm saying.
That happens
a lot. Outside of that, you're like control or red.
But
or
that's the thing,
not,
right? Like most of the formidable cards are actually fine on their own, which is very rare for cards with a mechanic. Like, these cards are decent. Like, they're not like all stars, the best thing ever, whatever, but they're decent. They're not. And you know, this is Limited. You're going to have C's and B's and in your deck quite a lot. You're going to have like 20 C's, 2 B's, and an A or whatever. So, like, a decent card is fine. But then when you come up against that other green deck and you have formidable cards and he doesn't, you just win. Because you both stall out and then suddenly your creatures just get obscenely better. And I've played that match where, you know, like we both decked each other because neither of us could kill each other. Like, my opponent had the Sultai Ascendancy, and he lost because of it. Because, like, we legitimately went to, like, turn 25. You know, I had 18 lands in play or whatever. And, you know, it came down to, like, we just couldn't kill each other. Like, I was still on 7 and he was on, like, 9 or something.
Hmm.
And, you know, if I'd had Formidable or he'd had Formidable, he would have won.
Tried attacking.
Maybe you should have attacked.
Yeah.
I mean, the board state was getting ridiculous. There was, like, 9 creatures on my side and, like, 11 for him.
But you're a master kid.
Well, so maybe he should have attacked.
But, yeah, but you were saying that a lot of these formidable cards are good in their own right. So yes, the mechanic is a bonus if...
I think it has to be, because you can't... it's so conditional.
I know. If that's what it feels like, it just feels... I couldn't see in Limited that you could bank on having 8 power
there.
I don't
think you can always just rely on having this.
And as soon as they see it the first time, like in all the other matches, they're just going to be counting your power. If it's a really formidable card, they're just, saving up to knock that on the head.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of Rebound. So this one here, like Rebound was saying they have to be overcosted so high because you're always going to get the effect. Whereas this is the opposite, where it's costed so low because, you know, it's much harder to achieve Formidable. So the cards have to be better base to be playable. So.
Okay.
I'm so excited for the red card with this. The, like, double red dude. It's like, when it gets Formidable, you can pay 6 mana and just make a dragon. I'm like, that card is so good.
Well, maybe tell us about that when we get to the red card.
Red section.
Yeah. Jeez. Now we're going to talk about cycles. We've got the Dragon Lords.
I'm sorry, I got excited.
I can tell. I'll get you some tissues.
The Dragon Lords, yes.
Dragon Lords, Rob.
Dragon Lords,
okay. So
Rob's awake.
The Dragon Lords, you've met them before. We played with them in Fate Reforged, and over the past 2,000 years or whatever it is, they've been, you know,
it's been that long since
they
Fate
Dragon
Reforged
lords
came out.
Before, they were just lowly humble dragons. Now they're actually lords.
They're like, they have the keyword... Elder Dragon, you know, that's very exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. We haven't had Elder Dragons for a really long time.
And when we had them the first time, they started their own format.
Hang on, so who are these Dragon Lords of which you speak?
So in Fate Reforged, there were the 5 Dragon Lords, as we see them here. They're not quite as good. You know, Dromoka, Ataka, Colligan, Silumgar, and Ataka?
Toothless? Oh, slim guy, he said him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Targi said twice. But yeah, the big woofy dragons.
Ojutai is the one you
feel. Ojutai, yeah. And they're all kind of aligned with a clan or, they are the clans now. So, like, for those of you who don't know, all of the clans from Khans lost a color. So they're now 2 colors. They are the allied colors. If you look at the back of a Magic card, they are the color combinations that are next to each other.
Yeah.
So blue, white, green, red, black, red. Oh, I can't remember them all off the top of my head.
Disappointing.
That's what Riley... caught me looking at the back of a card during the match once as I was trying to figure out what the enemy cards were as I was like putting it all together.
So we've got the 5 different clans. So we've got green-white, which is Dromoka. So that used to be Abzan. So we've lost black, so now Dromoka. And this is your 5/7 lifelink flying guy with the abilities he can't be countered. And also, your opponents can't cast spells during your turn. So you can slam this guy against control. Yeah. They can't counter it on the way down. And then as soon as it's resolved, and it has to resolve because they can't counter it, then they can't play anything else that turn. So effectively, even if they're holding up a removal spell, which is common for this kind of thing, you at least can't blow you out that turn because they waste that turn of mana.
They have to tap their mana on their own turn, which is exactly what you want to make control decks do, because that's how you get back in
front. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
This card's really weird, though, because this card shines against aggro because of the lifelink.
Absolutely, against everyone. Like a 5/7 flying, it's like a Baneslayer Angel. It's just enormous. Yeah.
It's just like, I got a big butt.
Yeah, what about
it's
the
good.
Card?
Yeah.
Okay, so Dromoka, obviously very good. People have been testing that as a finisher in Abzan mid-range standard deck.
Is there another hot pick from the Dragon Lords?
Oh, they're all hot picks.
They're all hot picks.
This one's playable, I think. The rest are like a bit iffy. This one's good.
I would actually rank this at 4th.
Really? I think this one's
playable.
In the
total set?
Yeah. No, as in like from the Dragon Lords. If you were to rank the Dragon Lords, I think this is number 4.
So which one's number 1?
So let's go through them all first.
Let's hit them all first.
Yeah. So number 2, we've got Ojutai. So Ojutai is our blue-white one. So Ojutai is a 5/4 flyer and costs 5. So 1 blue, 1 white, 3 colorless. And whenever it's untapped, it has hexproof. So the turn you play it, they can't kill it. And then whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you get to look at the top three cards of your library and then put one of them in your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library. So you can play it that turn, tap out for five. You don't have to risk having your big threat that you've tapped out for killed immediately because it has hexproof that turn. And then next turn you can start attacking once you've untapped and you can hold up counter spells or protection for this card and start drawing cards off it. So it's pretty nice, this one.
I think it's a more interesting prognostic sphinx, which made a lot of waves in the Constructed
for a while. This card is... if it hits you once, you just feel bad. Like, as soon as it, like, hits you, you're like, how do I win? My opponent just looked at the top three cards of their library and picked one. Like, you are in...
Also hit me.
Yeah. Like, you lost 25% of your life total, and your opponent just drew, like, one of their best cards from the top three. Like, that is bad beats for you.
Yeah.
He just looks like a big bird. Really getting off on these...
They're all big birds.
The art's actually great on this card as well.
I think it'll be really pretty in foil. Yeah,
it's got light colours that would look pretty cool.
Yeah.
For the flavour people among you, this is Narset's teacher. So Narset was basically like, man, I want to learn how to be awesome. This is who she learned from.
Is that what happened?
That's what the whole clan is about, though. Ojutai and his clan.
Yeah,
they're all about... pursuits of knowledge and
pretty good much clan, Jeskai.
One of the good ones.
Yeah, they're basically exactly Jeskai.
Who else have we got?
Okay, so we've got the next one up, Silumgar. So this is our blue-black, so the evil sort of Dimir guild.
Oh, yeah.
So he costs 6, so 4 and 1 blue, 1 black, and he's a 3-5 with flying and death touch, so a great blocker. And his ability is, whenever he enters the battlefield, you get to take control of a target creature or planeswalker as long as you control Silumgar.
Oh.
So it's effectively a reprint of the old Sower of Temptation fairy. That steals one of their creatures.
But
this guy,
so it can take planeswalkers.
Exactly, exactly. So it's interesting. I mean, the one flaw in this card is it doesn't have any way to protect itself. So the sort of nightmare situation is you tap out, you play 6, you play this guy, and they just downfall you in response. So you don't actually get any value out of the creature. So that's a bit of an issue with this.
I don't think that's the nightmare situation. I think the nightmare situation is you play this, target their Ugin, take their Ugin, tick it up, then they kill it. They get their Ugin back, and ticked it up and you ticked it up, you can also.
I mean, that's a nightmare if you're a terrible player, because if you're taking their Ugin, like if you take the Ugin, then you just neg it to kill it so they don't get it back. Like, you're never going to take it
but
and try and keep
like
it for
killing
value.
Your own Dragon Lord.
No, because it's never going to be on. Like, if they're playing it, it's not going to be on 6. You're going to hope. I mean,
if they just played
it's one of those
and
things
ticked it up.
You've got to make a judgment call when it comes up.
And I'd be trading it for the. I would trade it for the Ugin anyway. Like, you're so far behind, man. Anyway.
But the loyalty points come over with it?
They do, but the problem is that if you do that, you take the Ugin and then they kill your guy, which is, it's pretty easy to kill a guy in standard right now, then you lose the Ugin straight away.
So many people are so excited about this card because they're like, oh, I'm going to take your whatever and do things with it.
It's such
a
big swing.
Good players are never going to let that happen.
Yeah, I just don't think it's good enough, honestly. Yeah. It's just not good. Like, where we'd want to go is in a blue-black control deck and there's just better finishes. Like, the old Silumgar's much better, has Hexproof, and Pelic Ancient's much better.
All right.
Okay, should we look at the next one? So, Colligan, this is our black-red. So, this is like the Furious Speed Guild. So, he is cost 6 again, so 4 colorless and 1 black, 1 red. And he's a 6-5 fly with haste, so you can attack immediately. And his ability is other creatures you control have haste. So, not only does he have haste, but every other dragon you play in the following turns has haste as well. And whenever an opponent casts a creature or planeswalker spell with the same name as a card in their graveyard, they lose 10 life. So this is a bit of an interesting mechanic.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's sort of out here
sounds
to beat
like
the...
Sounds more like admin rather than playing Magic, doesn't it?
Well, it looks like we're out to beat these Sidisi whip decks. So like the sort of Sultai decks that aim to fill their own graveyard with things and then whip them back with their base for value. So it looks like you're trying to basically hope that they play a Seder Wayfinder something early, mill their huge threats like a Siege Rhino. Then you play this dragon and then they can't play another Siege Rhino until they get rid of the other one in the graveyard or they're dead. So it's a very interesting kind of idea.
I thought this card was way better than it was, because I thought it was just spell in general. So if they had a hero's downfall in there...
Can you imagine? That would be ridiculous.
It's not that good,
that would be okay.
What?
As it is, this card is terrible.
No, but you're kidding me. What, 6 for a 6-5 fly with haste?
But like, you've got to have it in
an
aggressive
deck, limited,
though.
This card is ridiculous. In standard, this card is eh.
And if you're going past turn 6, everything's got haste.
Yeah.
So everyone's coming in and swinging in straight away.
He's got the most interesting text on him of all of the dragons, I think.
This feels super weird because, like, these type of legendary dragon creatures, which have Elder on them, and the last five that had Elder on them started Commander, and he has text that is not applicable in Commander. And I'm what are you doing?
Yeah, so what's the point? Does Elder Dragon do anything? It's just
It's just like, subtype. You're awesome.
Oh, okay. So it's just, all right, we'll just...
You have graduated from Dragon to Awesome Dragon.
Right. And you've grown feathers.
So that one's interesting, yeah, like him saying, not so much in Standard, because, I mean, it's an aggressive deck, you'd want to play in a black-red aggressive deck, you don't really want to play a 6-drop in that style of deck.
No.
It doesn't really fit anywhere else.
You can't play this card while Stormrift Dragon still exists.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you still have a 5-drop dragon that has haste, this card can't exist.
Exactly. So the next one we've got, last one, the Dragonlord Ataka. Now, this is arguably the best one.
Right.
So it costs 7 here, it's called 5 colorless, 1 red, 1 green.
Now, when Aaron's just for Ataka, he says that's junk, and you were really happy with that.
Junk? I mean, it's pretty good, I think. The thing is, its ability...
It's an argument. When Aaron gets back, we'll have to... No, this was Ataka from...
Oh, the previous one. The previous one was not good. So I feel that.
Anyway, sorry, everyone.
So we're an 8-8 flying trampler, so already just a huge body. But then its ability is whenever it comes into play, you get to deal 5 damage... And you have to split it however you want between any creatures, players, planeswalkers. Creatures and planeswalkers. So it's huge. I mean, you can normally slam it down in sort of these green-red ramp decks. You can slam it down reasonably early, clear the entire other player's board, or destroy a planeswalker with 5 loyalty or less. Just a huge blowout if you can get it down.
Yeah, I'm hoping Cloud Shift comes back at some point. It'd be good.
Well, I think this is good just because, you tap out, you slam it, and then even if they kill it immediately, you've already got the value.
It's probably dual because it's got a green mana base.
You might be ramping to it anyway.
And explosive vegetation has been reprinted.
But it's like 5 damage once. The other cards we talked about have an ongoing effect.
But like this happens
when you
play it immediately. So like immediately you get the effect, which is really important because ones that have things that affect later, if they just remove it straight away, which often happens in Constructed, then you have no value.
Like, think about this versus Colligan, right? So, like, Colligan has sweet text. Like, your opponent takes 10.
Yeah.
That's a big number. That's half their life total.
If
there is a huge if attached to this.
Right.
This happens always. The only way this doesn't happen is if this gets countered. As soon as this hits the battlefield, you do something. And that something is putting you ridiculously ahead.
So how early would you think you could play this one in limited?
How much mana was it?
I mean, Ugin has been cast on turn 4.
Yeah, you can do it on turn 4.
Wow.
I would say if you wanted to build a deck that could always slam it on turn 5, you'd probably get there like 70% of the time.
Because by then, turn 5, 5 damage could be quite significant, right?
I mean, you're forgetting that it's 5 damage and then you have an 8-8.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like she goes away. She's this huge stick that you just get to beat your opponent with.
Trampling butt.
It's a trample with 8 versus whatever weenies that the blue deck's got in the air that's been chipping away at you whilst you've been trying to get this guy out. They're just going to get,
Sat on.
Yeah,
this one pretty much will always work. Whereas the Colligan one is pretty much, I think your only time you're ever going to see it happen, which is probably going to be in pre-release, is when someone plays a card...
And
you go, okay, you take 10, and they go, what do you mean? And then you go, oh, this is Colligan's in play. And they have to read the card, and then they go, I take 10. I think that's the only time you're ever going to get this to trigger.
Yeah. A small, interesting rules tidbit about Ataka. If Ataka read deal damage to target player or creatures, you would not be able to target 2 planeswalkers. However, because she says creatures or planeswalkers, you can now target 2 planeswalkers individually, because the way... damage typically works off like a lightning strike or something. You have to target the player and then redirect to a planeswalker. So you can't currently arc lightning 2 planeswalkers, but this you can, which is sweet.
Fantastic. The command cycle is the final cycle we want to touch on.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Ah, we've got commands back. They're not quite cryptic, which is only a good one.
Command.
I don't want a command in Standard.
Oh, my favorite card in Magic, pretty
it's
much.
Such a good
command,
card.
Man. Give me
we have cards, a set of 5, one for each Dragon Lord, and each card has 4 things that it does, and you get to pick 2 of them when you cast it.
So it's a charm that you can choose 2 from.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And they're all 2 costs. No, Colligan's
they're not.
Some
get quite pricey in mana costs.
Silumgars.
So there are
5.
There are 2 that are very good, and they're the 2 cost ones. There's one that's okay to very good, which is the 4 cost one, and the other 2 we'll have to wait and see because they're not obvious
Alright, so let's see where they are first. So we've got the first one up, we're just doing the same order as the last one. So we've got Dromoka's Command first, which is the green white one. Costs 2, 1 green, 1 white, so this is very cheap, very efficient. The 4 modes are prevent all damage target instant or sorcery would deal, target player sacrifice an enchantment, put a +1/+1 counter on creature, or a target creature you control fights target creature you don't control. So all reasonably good modes. The fact that it costs 2 just makes it so efficient. You can fight creatures to get blockers off the board. You can use a +1/+1 counter in combat to give yourself blowout combat tricks. You can use it to sack enchantments to kill things like Outpost Siege, which are popular, Jeskai Ascendancy, Chain to the Rocks. There's a lot of enchantment targets right now.
Yep.
And also being able to save your creature, preventing all damage and instant or sorcery. This would be great in these style of Abzan creature decks where they try and burn your guy to kill it, and then you can, in response, play this. Prevent your guy and put a counter on it if you want to, so it gets your guy bigger and prevents it from removal. So just very good, versatile card.
You've got to feel pretty happy. I mean, yeah, it is a two-coloured mana, but for a two-cost fight card is pretty standard, isn't it?
Two-cost fight and does something else.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a two-fight and does something. That's the thing, isn't it? It's fantastic.
It is exceedingly difficult for this card to not two-for-one someone. Like, 95% of the time when you cast this card, it will be a 2-for-1, and that is very powerful.
Mm.
This, like, of all the commands, this is the one I want in limited every time, because it's so relevant at every stage of the game. Like, some of the other commands that are very good, but they're not quite as relevant at all the time. Whereas if you draw this on a top deck, unless it's an empty board, you get to do something, and that something is definitely powerful.
How do you give us a rundown on how
Wait, you're two for one, what are you doing then?
Yeah. On an empty board, you do nothing. On an empty board, you feel sad and you die.
That's something you just said. If you have an empty board, it does something. I thought you said unless you have an army, so I'm with you.
You're always going to two for one someone because you make something bigger, fight something, prevent all damage.
So you can imagine, say, in combat, in combat they attack you. You block with one creature that would, you know, would bounce off each other. And then you can +1/+1 counter on that guy, so it actually kills the guy in combat, and you can use another creature to fight something else that they have. So you can kill another one of their smaller guys while buffing your other guy so it doesn't die in combat. So you get pretty easy two for ones.
Cool.
Reasonable, like, sequence of events in, like, standard are, like, counter your Lightning Strike, fight your Ravel Master. Against green decks, you're like, oh, put a +1/+1 counter on my dude, you sack an enchantment, goodbye, Corsair Crucifix. Like, subtle things that are very powerful. When something, like, I've been playtesting a little bit, and when someone has white, green, white up, I'm like, how can I play around this card? And a lot of the time, I can't.
Mm.
And that makes it powerful.
What's next,
Rob? Next time we've got Ojutai's Command. So this is my favorite one of the series. Yeah, so this is the blue-white one. Costs 2 colorless, 1 blue, 1 white, so 4 total. It's 4 modes are counter, return target creature with converted mana cost 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, gain 4 life, counter target creature spell, or draw a card. So if this was just counter-target spell, this card would be insane. It would be the old Cryptic Command, which would be amazing. But unfortunately, just being able to counter creature spells, not so great. I mean, still amazing to counter a creature spell, draw a card if they're playing a Siege Rhino or they're playing any of these new dragons, can be very effective.
Yeah.
But we're just going to see how we go with this.
It just pulls aggro. I'm going to counter your thing and draw a card. Or I'm not even. Yeah. I'm just going to gain 4 life and draw another card.
You just like, anything. Return my Seeker, draw a card. Or return my Seeker, gain 4. Like,
and then trigger, that's a powerful effect. Trigger your other Seeker, something attacking you, gain 3 more from the Seeker. So it's really good against aggro.
It's fantastic. Only 4 mana, it's definitely achievable. Like, you leave that up all the time.
Exactly. I mean, I think it could be potentially a one-off card in Modern as well. I mean, there's a lot of things it returns in those decks that would play it, like Snapcaster Mage being the most important one.
Yeah.
Could even be like a Bant deck where you could use like one of these that counters a lot of the important threats, and you can return Tarmogoyf to the battlefield. So there's a lot of useful modes. Like, you couldn't see too many being four cost, but potentially a one-off. We'll see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting card.
Yeah.
Okay, next up we've got Silumgar's Command. So this is the Dimir one. It costs 3 colorless, 1 blue, 1 black, so 5 total. Your options are counter target non-creature spell, so this is the other side of the Ojutai's Command. Return target permanent to its owner's hand, so you got unsummon. Target creature gets -3/-3 until end of turn, so some light removal. And destroy target planeswalker, so you can use this to kill a creature, kill a planeswalker, bounce a guy or any permanent, so a land. And return and counter target non-creature spell, so pretty good. I mean, this one's got
everything this card does. It's so good. It's,
I mean, the only problem is expensive. 5 cost, that's exactly right. If this was like a 4 cost card, it'd be amazingly good. Oh, like very good. 3 cost, it would be like a
3 cost would be just ridiculous.
In limited, in limited though, surely the destroy target planeswalker becomes a, this makes this card choose 2 of the following 3 options.
Those 3 options are really
the one guy that, you always lose to the one guy that's going to play the Narset against, you know what I mean? Turn 4 Narset, you're just going, mate, turn 5 Silumgar's Command, destroy it. And I'd just be like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Constructed. So that one's, I mean, it's reasonable. The problem is, like, I think we're all going to agree it's a very good card, but the costing, I think, pushes it out a bit. Being 5 cost, blue-black control is not really going to want it at that cost. Not efficient enough.
No.
Magic is all about under-costed cards in the current, like,
yeah, it's just life not of
Magic. Cards. And this card is costed correctly.
Yeah.
This card is costed as it should be, and that means it's not good enough because you're going against cards that are costed way like too
siege
efficiently.
Like that's Siege Runner set to the bar, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta be playing good cards. So the next one up, we've got Black-Red. So the Rakdos-style guild. This is one colorless, one black, one red. Choose 4. Return target creature card from your graveyard to the hand. Destroy target artifact. Target player discards a card or deals 2 damage to target creature and player. So very light removal, artifact removal. It's instant speed discard, which is reasonable, and return card from graveyard to hand. So not too bad. What do you think of this?
This is like my least favorite because I'm like, it's not exciting. I just don't see how it's good.
I mean, you can play your own Ravelmaster. They kill your Ravelmaster, then you can return yours and kill theirs at the same time. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't see it being amazing either.
It doesn't even seem to fit the flavor of what we usually see from Rakdos cards either. It's not super aggro, is it?
Not too many artifacts floating around in standard. I mean, there's the Jeskai Ascendancy combo deck that plays Briber's Purse, but I mean, what else really is there to kill?
That's it. Like, that's nothing.
Ornithopter, when they go the Ornithopter install artifact deck.
Well,
with, like,
hang on,
gimmick
I was just
deck.
Saying when we were doing the Buster Booster, that destroy type artifact guy, yeah, people jump on you with those key runes.
I'm thinking Constructed though. No one's going to play Constructed Key Runes.
No.
Look out for that coming soon. Key Rune De Vries Turnell. Coming soon. 7 Land podcast near you.
I think they will.
I don't know what that would unlock, but I mean, I wouldn't want to see it. It would be scary. What's inside the key unlock? Those
nipple tweaking photos.
This card leads me to believe that Battle for Zendikar is going to have artifacts. All the set after. Because all the other commands have had 4 relevant abilities, and this ability is not relevant in Limited, not relevant in Standard, is kind of relevant in Commander or whatever, but these cards are not designed for that.
I think it's the most relevant in Limited, because it sort of fits in a blue, like a black-red aggro deck, so you can use
but
it
like
to sort of kill them.
What artifacts are you killing?
The mana things, exactly. That's what you want in black-red, though. They tap out their turn 3 to play like their artifact after you've played your 2-drop. Then you can like destroy their artifact and like burn them off whatever they're blocking with. Puts them behind a mana, attacks three. I can see it being okay in Limited, man, actually, honestly.
But it
can
be one of those card evaluation test sort of things, kind of. You know, it's to less experienced players, they go, wow, I'll get to destroy an artifact just reading that on its own, not considering what's in the set. I'm going to play that just in case. But, you know, for more experienced players, knowing what the set's got, they'll shy away from it.
Yeah, it depends if those mana things are actually playable. Like, the key runes in the last set were not really playable. So if they're playable, it depends.
Do you think this fits into a wider format? Like, Modern, maybe? Something where destroying artifacts is more relevant?
The problem is, in Modern, you can't pay 3 cost to destroy an artifact. It's, like, that's, like, way too expensive.
Yeah, yeah, 3 cost and something else.
But, like, the thing is, when you want to destroy an artifact in Modern, like, you want to destroy it right now. Like, it's something, you know, be a combo deck where they play, like, turn 1 Amulet of Vigor and you have to kill it. You can't, like, wait till turn 3.
Or they're like, hey, man, I'm attacking you with this, you know, Ornithopter with 12 counters on my cranial plate.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So you can't play 3 cost card like that in Modern, unfortunately.
All right. Let's move on to the last
one. Okay, Tarka's Command. Last one. We got the old green red. So
the best one.
This one, yeah, arguably the very best one. So this one is.
So he got the best Dragon Lord and the best command.
Easily the best one.
Easily. Okay,
what?
So we got 4 modes. One is opponents can't gain life. The second one is Tarka's Command deals 3 damage to each opponent. And the third one is you may play a land from your hand onto the battlefield, so an explore. And creatures you control get +1/+1 again, reach until end of turn. So this one, very, very versatile again. I mean, worst case is just a Skullcrack. You can just use the can't gain life and deal 3 damage mode. If you're playing 2-headed giant here, it does 6 damage, which is great. Yep. So value in 2-headed giant mode for people playing pre-release.
Skullcrack is a good magic card.
Skullcrack absolutely. And it's just an upside at Skullcrack. I mean, it could see even play in like a Naya Burn Shell in Modern. You could be splashing green into the sort of
Boros. Yeah, I mean, like the important part of Skullcrack is that you can't gain life.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
especially with Siege Rhinos and Finks running around.
Now you can't gain life and something else happens.
The dream for this card is obviously your opponent just casts a Siege Rhino. You're like, you can't gain life. I'm going to put this land from my hand into the play and then next turn play a 6-drop or whatever. Like, you know, this card has a lot of power to it.
Or just a burn deck. I mean, you just counter their life gain from the Rhino, burn them to face, then untap and stoke them to death.
Yeah,
that's
fantastic.
So.
Yeah.
How does the you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield fit in with the land play, one land per turn
rules. So you get an extra one. So that's like an explore effect. So you can play your first land, then play this card, then play your second land.
So you definitely get a second land.
So it's very good. Yeah. So like even if you're, you know, if they have nothing on board at all and you want to ramp up and start playing your bigger spells and you're playing like a red-green monster style deck, you can just go turn two, end step, play this, put an extra land into play, and then you don't need to use it in any other modes, and you can just start untap the next turn with an extra land.
So, you're on four mana on turn three. Yeah.
Exactly. Then you can start playing your Thunderbreak Regents or your Plukinos, and you know, the green-red monster cards.
Mm.
So very good.
And you're well on your way to getting a Tarka Dragonlord out then as well.
And it doesn't die as well. So like it's not like an Elvish Mystic where you can just play this and then they just shock it to death. So I mean, it's basically land ramp that's safe as long as you have the extra land in hand.
This card has a scary mode where it's like... Because typically when your opponent casts Elvish Mystic, you're like, oh man, he's going to ramp out something. So now I have to be prepared for what he's going to ramp or kill it. And when they do that, you're like, oh man, his Stormbreath Dragon is going to come a turn earlier or something similar. But the thing about this card is you can do it at the end of their turn. So your opponent is on their third turn. They cast an Ashiok or something, or a Corsair Crucifix. And you go, cool, that resolves. I'm just going to play this, put a land into play, get to the fourth land, untap, play my fifth land, Stormbreath Dragon, hit you for four. And suddenly your opponent's like, shit. You know, they were preparing to deal with that card next turn, and suddenly it's just come out a turn earlier, out of nowhere.
So... interesting. This, Ataka's Command and Ojutai's Command, are the only ones you can cast whenever you like. The other ones are all choose two, and are conditional on when you can cast them. So you have to be able to target specific things for some of them.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Which, if you can't meet those conditions, and you can't choose two things, you can't cast it.
Yeah.
But Ataka's Command and Ojutai's Command, you can cast whenever you like.
Yeah,
like
true.
Jamoka's Command, you could cast for absolutely no value, but like preventing all damage to make him sack no enchantments.
Exactly. So you can cast that one if you really want.
Yeah, it seems terrible though. Exactly. It seems
but
real bad.
But Ataka's Command and Ojutai's always do something.
You can't cast Jamoka's Command with no creatures on the board. Because
yes, you have to
target an instant.
No, you can target a player and prevent all damage. Oh, that's a target spell.
Ah, you can't. Yeah, so there you go.
So you can only cast two of them whenever you like.
Good fact. That's an important fact and knowledge.
We're going next. We're blobbing out, and we'll come back with some with white, blue, black, and red.
Oh,
sounds good.
Brilliant.
Yeah, see you in a minute. If I fight, I might step on a butterfly. That would be sad. Said Krog of Qual Sisma.
Bless you.
Yeah. That is Kian's favourite bit of flavour text from the from this set.
It's so beautiful.
If I fight, I might step on a butterfly. That would be sad.
It's the art that makes this as well. It's the giant marauding minotaur, like, stepping away, like, not wanting to crush the butterfly.
Like, he's, like, hands are folded as well.
Exactly,
he's like,
man.
I can't do anything, man. I might kill a butterfly.
This belongs to pacifism, which is one of the planes for an enchantment and you can enchant something to stop it from attacking or blocking, and that's about the last time I'll probably ever mention this card.
Is that what
Minotaur
sound like?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So
it's just a new version of pacifism.
Just like that.
There's also like a tiny bit of flavor in this card that I really like, because Sarkhan just went back in time and changed everything about, like, you know,
everything.
The future, or, you know, today, and... it's kind of like playing on the butterfly effect or whatever. You know, you step on a butterfly 2,000 years ago and suddenly your grandmother died or whatever. And, like, for me, that's just, like, it's kind of exciting because Wizards is like, we just did time travel.
Wow. Okay, we've done the beauty quota for today's episode. So we're looking at white cards. We're just going to name some of our favourites and have a look at them. Who wants to go first?
Myth Realized. Best card.
Tell us about that.
So good.
All right, what's that doing?
It's an enchantment, which whenever you cast a non-creature spell, it gets a lore counter on it.
So it's one cost, planes, and it is, the way you said it, myth-realized, it's two words, myth-realized.
Myth-realized.
For those, myth-realized.
Myth-realized.
Yeah. So turn to mithril, that's what I was thinking as well.
One white to play it. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, you put a counter on it. For two colourless and one white mana, you can put another lore counter on it. For one white, until end of turn, this becomes a creature with
Monk
power
Avatar.
And toughness equal to the number of counters on it. This is so good. This is going to... I think this is a completely legacy playable card.
Wow, it's a huge draft.
Fantastic.
Throwing the gauntlet.
I think this card could be better than Delver. Holy wow. Flying is great, but this card can be bigger faster than Delver can, and it's guaranteed because Delver may not flip.
That
whereas
is
whatever.
I think it's very good, but I think saying Delver's.
I don't know.
Good
I think
card,
I think it's Delver's great, but I think.
Are you
going to
get
easily
in front of the? Of, you know, like turn two, two twos, turn three,
so
three,
idea,
threes.
So the idea is basically you're slamming big. This. So this is, you play in a control deck. You play this on turn one. So you don't have any other players. You just play like a planes, untap, play this guy on turn one.
Yeah.
And then it sits there and play while you just basically counter their things, remove their guys. It slowly builds up to sort of four, five, six counters.
Yeah.
And then late game, once you've got the board cleared and you can hold counter spells, you can pay one white, activate this guy, attack through. If they're trying to remove it, you can counter their stuff. If they, you know...
Abrupt decay.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking standard. I don't know if it's going to... Yeah, I'm not as bullish as Riley on this one.
Abrupt Decay is a card.
Just kills everything.
Not everyone.
In standard, I can see where we're coming from. This card is very powerful because early game you play it and you just get a bunch of value. Late game you play it and you just dump your mana into it.
Yeah.
So
you can always do something with it.
It's good at every stage of the game, and that means it's a good card.
And you've got to have something to remove an enchantment while it's sitting there. It's only when you flip it it becomes a creature. So it's got some sort of
it's really
twisted evasion in a way
to
there.
Push up the lore counters on it through casting non-creature spells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You won't even realise that it's getting big.
I mean, that's too late.
Wow.
And it's just like Rob was saying. I mean, that would be a perfect thing. How much fun would that to be just to get this guy out on a one drop and just build him up and do nothing else except for just counter all their stuff. That'd be so
no
much
fun.
Doing
anything against it early on because it's it's not a problem until later on.
Yeah. All right. Who else has got one?
Secure the Wastes.
We're doing white.
I'm just going to mention this because I'm going to get wrecked this weekend at the pre-release by this card. I know it's coming because this card is absurd in Limited.
Secure the Wastes, which is X and a Plains. For an instant, put X 1/1 white warrior creature tokens onto the battlefield.
Oh, it's going to do some damage.
This card's so good. You just 7 mana, let's make 6 dudes, the end of your turn, hit you. And it's just damn. And infinite chump blockers.
Yeah, make all the dudes trumpet blast. All right, seems good. Or what's the new one? Warflare? What's it called? Warflare? No.
No, it's...
The two...
I know,
one
it has
the red, white 2/1 that untaps guys. No, from Fate Reforged.
Oh, that's Warflare. But the new one in this set has rebound, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
This one has the advantage of, over Myth Realized, I suppose, of you can play it at any point in time in the game, where you play this on, you're saying, turn 7, you've got 6 dudes. If you play Myth Realized on turn 7, you've still got a 1/1.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you still got to build it up.
You've not even got a 1/1 if you play it on turn 7. It's just an enchantment.
Oh, it doesn't come in with one.
Well, no, that's not true, because on turn 7 you can play it, put two counters on it.
Put two counters on it, but...
Yeah.
It's a really good card.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Any cards from you, Rob?
I like the Ogitize Exemplars. I don't know where it fits at the moment. So this is one of the white mythic. So it's 2 colorless, 2 white. So 4 drop, it's a 4/4 guy. And then it has a bunch of abilities. So whenever you play a non-creature spell, you can choose any one of these three things. You can tap any target creature. You can give it lifelink and first strike. Or you can blink it out, basically. So you can exile, then return it back. So you can use it to basically protect from removal spells with the blinking ability. Give yourself lifelink and first strike against aggressive decks to gain life, and tap creatures to get blockers out of the way if you're playing against green mid-range decks. But I don't know where the home for it is at the moment. It's not fast enough at the moment in tempo decks, and it's not really a good enough finisher to be in a control deck because there's just better options. So
these cards are super hard to evaluate, because
exactly. I don't know what decks are going
to be coming out. There's so many options. You see this card and you're like, I don't even know what I'm going to do with it. If he'd said... The white card I like the most is the Swiss Army Knife. I would have known exactly what he was talking about.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Is he just going to go around threatening morphs? Just going mopping up morphs with that?
I mean, it's more it could be potentially taking over the Stormbreath Dragon role, or the kind of Ashcloud Phoenix-y role in those red-white aggressive decks once those cards aren't in the set anymore. I would not play it in standard anymore, but I just don't know. The problem is the 4-drop slot is so tight in those. You've got Outpost Siege, you've got Ashcloud Phoenixes, you've got Chandra. I mean, you've got so much of 4.
This card is clearly powerful, but that power is hard to evaluate where exactly it should go.
Yeah, right.
And then the other interesting card, we're going to do the Power Rangers thing. I mean, the Hidden Dragon Slayer is great. So just the 2-drop guy is 2/1 with lifelink, costs 1 white, 1 colorless. So 2-drop, you can play him, he's good against as a blocker against aggressive decks. But his ability is a Megamorph, so you can play him 3 as a morph face down. Then you can pay 2 colorless, 1 white, flip him up and destroy any creature with power 4 or greater. So he sort of hides away in the morph, and then you flip him up, kill one of their big guys, then attack in with him as a 3-2 lifelink to gain some life. So really interesting little card. I think it's quite good.
Yeah. Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
What about blue? What have we got in there?
We're going to blue already? Anyone, Riley, you finished with white?
Yeah, white.
Sucks. I mean, what else have we got? Let's go. One other white interesting card then is Anafenza. So the new Anafenza just costs 2 white, and it's a 2-2 guy. And whenever you cast any other creature, you get to bolster 1. So basically, you can slam this guy on turn 2, and then every time you start unloading any of the rest of your white weenie or white green sort of aggressive creatures, you can bolster 1 every time. So it starts making your small, cheap threats into sort of effective board like board positions. So very good.
Yeah. Has anyone got a happening common or uncommon? When we've just gone through the rares.
From white?
From white? Yeah. Anything stick out?
There's some cool stuff, but it's like nothing's particularly exciting or different.
Nothing jumps out.
Yeah. All right. Should we move on to blue then?
Yeah, let's do blue.
All right. What have we got?
All right. Well, blue has 2 fun but particularly dreadful cards.
That's what we want.
I love it, right?
Non-committal. Sitting on the fence.
That's a commander play. Yeah,
this is commander all up. So there's Blessed Reincarnation is my first hilarious but terrible pick.
I actually think this is good in limited.
You might be right. So it is 3 colorless and 1 blue instant. Exile target creature an opponent controls. That player reveals cards from the top of his or her library until a creature card is revealed, and then puts that into play, and then shuffles the rest into his or her library. And it has rebound. So I think in Commander, this is hilarious, and you're going to get some really fun interactions out of it.
So you're exiling 2 creature cards.
Potentially. Now, bear in mind that rebound is a mate, so you don't have to. So the thing that makes me think this card might be okay in limited is if your opponent plays a dragon, you just want it gone. You don't actually care how it's gone, you just want it gone.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And, you know, in limited, you might have 3 bombs, and that's on the outside. So if you cast this targeting one of their bombs, the likelihood that they get their other bomb is very small, and in that case, just do it again.
Hmm. And they're certainly not going to play it. That's the thing. If they have got a backup... You know, if they have got a backup, it's going to slow them down from playing it the next turn, at least.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Like, if this is the only removal spell that you have in your pool...
You are so screwed.
I mean, it's based on... It's relative. If you have no other removal, I mean...
I don't know, because people made a lot of noise about that blue one from Fate Reforged, which was exile a creature and the opponent manifests the top card of their library.
Reality Shift. Yeah, it's not good enough either. That's
no, but when it was spoiled, people were like, oh, this card's amazing, but it's not.
Legacy playable.
Get out.
So, Blessed Reincarnation, interesting, yeah.
My other terrible but fun blue card is Illusory Gains, which is 3 colorless and 2 blue. Enchant creature, you control enchanted creature. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under an opponent's control, attach Illusory Gains to that creature.
This card just reminds me of that stupid card from Journey to Nyx that was like 4 and a blue for a 3/3, and whenever an opponent casts a spell,
Chimera.
It was the card that was like the hugest skill tester, because as soon as you played it, it was like, oh god, what do I do? And I feel like this is just going to be the same thing where you play it, and the person who's better wins this game.
Yeah, but your opponent can play around it, that's the thing.
This is easy to play, because you play this, take their dragon, they play a Sator Wayfinder, you now have their Sator Wayfinder, and they have their dragon back.
Seems interesting. I mean, there's some really cool cards in blue, though, this set. One of my favorite card, obviously, is Dragon Lord's Prerogative, so drawing cards, man, so insane. So this is just 4 colorless, 2 blue, so 6 cost... And it has a lot of text about dragons, but effectively it just says draw 4 cards.
Yeah. So, the text could be anything.
Yeah, exactly. It is an opportunity to draw cards.
Uncountable opportunity if you reveal a dragon.
Exactly. So I love that. Drawing 4 cards, that's just my jam, basically. What's that?
No.
The other really sweet card is actually Mirror Mockery, which is really cool.
Why are we talking? Like, let's just get straight to Anticipate. Like,
I know, Anticipate's insane, but it's like just the most. It's just the most generically good card. It's good, but it's like so generic. Like, sure, Telling Time, it's good.
Telling Time is fantastic, but this is worse than Telling Time.
It's better.
For hitting a land. It depends what you're trying to do.
I suppose it depends what's on top of your deck.
So,
Anticipate is 1 and a blue, instant. Yeah. Look at the top 3 cards of your library, put 1 in your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library.
So, the reason Anticipate is slightly better than Telling Time is because when you cast Anticipate, the odds are you are not going to get three insane cards. The odds are you will get one good card and two average cards, especially in limited. So, like, if you ever telling timed and saw three lands on top and you didn't want to land in the first place, you feel so bad. But if you do that with anticipate, you're like, sweet, draw that land, get rid of it.
Snap it off.
I mean, it's you've got decks full of stuff that you want, right?
Yeah.
So you look at the top three cards, you want two of them, you can only have one.
Yeah, so the way the math works out is if it's like, if you are looking for one specific individual card, then a card like, you know, Impulse or Anticipate is much statistically better than a card like Telling Time, which lets you look at three, put one on the top, one on the bottom, one in your hand. So if you're digging for a specific card, then Anticipate's much better. Because you look at three, if it's there, you get it. If it's not there, you ditch them all and you're one card closer to digging for that card.
Yep.
So that's it. It's I mean, it's insane. Like, it's obviously going to be played as a four of in every blue control deck. It's very, very good.
Yeah, any deck that has blue in it and wants cards.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. That's why I wasn't bringing that one up too quick. It's just good. It's obviously just a four of include.
And it's a common as well.
Yeah, it's a common. I mean, it's just
the
great.
Common pick.
Since we're in the A's in blue, I'd hope that Ancient Carp will be mispronounced frequently is Ancient Crap.
There's this really funny story told by Evan Owen in one of his videos where his daughter was watching him like write about the cards, and she came up behind him and misread the card and said Ancient Crap. And Evan Owen turned around and was like, card is crap.
Good story. The other one I think is really, really neat is Mirror Mockery that I was mentioning before. So the way this works is you enchant a creature, so it can be your creature or another player's creature. And whenever it attacks, you get to put a token copy of that creature into play, and then you get to exile end of turn. So this is like pretty neat if you have your own thing with a enters the battlefield effect. So you can play it on your guy. Every time you attack, you copy it.
I mean, like an attacker.
Exactly, like an attacker. But it's also insane on another player's guy. So it effectively pacifies something like a Siege Rhino. If you play it on the enemy Siege Rhino and they attack, then as soon as they try to attack, you get a copy of Siege Rhino. So you get gain three, they lose three, and then you can block their Siege Rhino.
Yeah, but
they
can't attack with their
Exactly. So it's effectively like a pacifism for the Siege Rhino. So, and it does that with a lot of other cards, like Hornet Queens, a lot of other cards that, you know, when they would enter give huge effects, you can pacify them by using this, the other guy can't attack with those cards.
Is it only when they attack you make a copy?
It's only when they attack, that's the problem. So,
you're saying this is more about casting on the opponent's players?
So you can, I think that's. I think that's a good way to use that. Like, because when they try and attack you, you get a copy which you can immediately block that guy with.
I think it depends on who the beatdown is at the time.
Exactly, But I mean, if you're playing blue, you're playing this card, like, you're probably not the beatdown. Because you can't attack with your copy, so if you put on your guy an attack, it comes into play untapped on that turn, then you lose the end of turn, so you can't actually attack.
No, you want something with a nice end to the battlefield.
Gotcha.
Exactly,
What do you think about Living Law, Rob?
I think it's really neat. Like, it's one of the cards that's super fun, but it's never going to be playable, unfortunately.
Cool.
In Modern, if you can go sort of like Faithless Looting to discard a couple of cards with like, you know, seven cost stuff like Cruel Ultimatum. And then you can... So Living Law is a four cost guy. It costs three colorless, one blue. And its thing is that when it enters the battlefield, you get to exile any instant or sorcery card out of your graveyard, and its parent toughness is equal to that. So if you have something like Cruel Ultimatum in Modern that costs 7, this card becomes a 7/7. And its other ability is that whenever it deals combat damage, so it doesn't have to be to a player, as far as I'm aware, you get to sack it and you can cast a spell for free. So if you have the effects that let you draw cards and discard cards, you can discard, you know, really expensive cards like... in standard, I guess it would be Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time.
Yeah.
Then you can have, you know, an 8/8 Living Law which you can attack, and it says May, so you don't have to choose to sacrifice it. So you can just leave it as your 8/8, or if you want it, you can sack it, draw three cards off your Treasure Cruise.
Yeah,
so
if for some reason your 8/8 isn't getting the job done,
exactly,
you can just draw three cards for free.
It would go well in those Delve decks, wouldn't it, where they're really stupidly priced cards if you were just to cast them straight up.
Exactly, but I think it's one of those cards where it just isn't good enough, really.
If it's going to die in combat, though, you can't sacrifice it because you sacrifice it before damage or else it's dying. So
exactly. Yeah. So that's tricky. Why you want to have a big card. You want to be like a huge dude, basically.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's too hard to set up. It looks sweet. It looks cool. But I mean, I just don't think it's happening.
Yeah.
Moving on to black.
My favorite card in black. And this card actually made me want to kind of play Commander again because the card seems so sweet. It's
so good, you can't even pronounce it.
I don't know how to pronounce the first word, trove.
Oh, I know the one, hedonistic trove, isn't it?
Oh, is that the word?
Oh, is it hedonistic trove? Yeah.
Hedonistic trove.
Hedonistic trove.
And two black, and it is an enchantment. When hedonistic trove enters the battlefield, exile all creatures from target opponent's graveyard. You may play land cards exiled with hedonistic trove. You may cast non-land cards exiled with hedonistic trove. You can't cast more than one spell this way each turn.
Now, how many land cards are they going to have in their graveyard?
Oh, maybe a couple of fetches, but you, I mean, it's cast, isn't it? So it doesn't matter.
It's basically, that's just an additive, so like if they've just got a bunch of lands, you don't lose them. Yeah. So if you don't want to cast one of their spells that turn, you can just jam a land into play out of their graveyard, which is really neat.
Lands aren't spells.
It says you can play them.
It says you may play land cards exiled this way.
Or non-land cards you can cast.
Yeah, so like for your land drop, you can just take a land, but you can still cast a card from their thing.
Yeah, so you can play one of their lands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What I'm saying is like, that's if it didn't have that text, like you would just waste all the lands that you exiled out of the graveyard.
Yeah. But yeah, this card's sweet. I like it.
Yeah, it seems cool. I don't know how well it would work in Commander, but who knows? It wouldn't work very well at all in any sort of...
I mean, you could. This could be the new win condition for the Dark Deal Wasteland combo deck
at
the moment.
I'm
so
out.
You just Dark Deal on the hand, discard all this stuff, play
the
Hedonist. I mean, you need to get to 7 mana to play
it. I liked this card because it was kind of flavorful. You killed it.
How about Deathwind?
It'll come back.
I think Deathwind's pretty good. It's X and a black, instant. Target creature gets minus X until end of turn.
Yeah, just a good removal spell. It'd be overcosted, like, because if you're trying to kill a 5 cost, you know, like a dragon or something, or a 4/4 dragon, it's going to be expensive. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, another one that's similar that's really good is Ultimate Price. Good reprint with a lot of single monocolored cards in this set. So just one colorless, one black, destroy target monocolored creature. Like lots of reprints in the past.
Oh yeah,
great card. Just really good cheap answer.
Good
sweet
art.
New art. Mind Rot got some new art as well, which looks pretty cool.
It's what the control decks need right now as well, like blue black control and Sultai control. At the moment, there's no cheap 2 cost interaction for expensive cards. So you've got Bile Blight, which is, you know, anything that's 3 toughness or less. But this, you know, you can play Stormbreath Dragon, you can kill their dragon, so you can trade, you know, your 2 cost removal for their 5 cost aggressive card. So very good, and I think it's going to be like definitely a staple played in those blue-black control decks. So very cool.
Oh, yeah. What do you think of Foul Renewal? Foul Renewal is a 3-mana, 1-black instant. Return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. Target creature gets neg X until end of turn, where X is the creature's toughness returned that way.
I like it in like self-mill in limited.
Tricky.
It can be quite good. Yeah, I think it can be interesting. It's a removal spell with some value. I think it's okay. I mean, it's not great. Like, if you didn't have enough removal in your deck, you'd definitely play it, I think.
Yeah.
And I like Grave Purge more for returning things from your graveyard.
Grave Purge? What's that one?
Yeah. It's a common one. It's 2 colorless and a black instant. Put any number of target creature cards from your graveyard on top of your library and then draw a card.
So, I mean, you can just play it as a 3-mana cost cycle card if you want.
Yeah, that's like 3-mana cost. Well, no, because I suppose you can.
You can put 0 if you want to. Yeah, that's okay. That's actually good. It's actually better than not having that, because then at least if you're, you know, early game, you don't have any creatures, you can cycle it, which is good.
Yeah, sure.
So.
You can order the cards as you put them back on top of your library as well.
You can get back all your red-black aggro cards that people have killed off.
Or in limited, like, you normally have 1 or 2 bombs. So if you play your dragon and they kill it, then you can immediately just get it back with this. It's instant speed as well. So.
Something on this to do with the art, Nils Ham has been using that limited palette for ages, and I always thought it's limited in terms of not just the colour, but in, like, what he'd be able to do with it. But, I mean, this card looks amazing, and he's still doing the same thing again. He's constantly impressing me with what he's putting out art-wise.
On the surface, it looks pretty simple, doesn't it? But actually, like, once you look at, like, really look at the card,
so is that
a lot
blue and red and dark colours and everything, you'd think, oh, you know, it'd be hamstrung by so many.
I can't believe you like this and don't like Sarkhan.
We'll get to that later.
I don't get where your eyes are coming from.
Well, cast your eyes over Vulturous Aven. This is an old favourite of mine, Kev Walker. Yeah. Well, he's done it again. Vulturous Aven, do you like cards where the birds have hands and carry swords? No, is the answer.
No is the answer.
I mean, it's evolution, though. It's evolution of these Avens.
I don't think this card's that bad.
No, it's not a card. I'm talking about the art being stupid.
Yeah, but while we're here,
Vulturous Aven.
4-mana, flying exploit. When it exploits a creature, you draw 2 cards and lose 2 life. I don't know if... I think sacrificing a creature and losing 2 life in exchange for 2 cards might be a bit much. But I don't know. I think in limited,
I think that's
be
one of the
good.
Better ones in limited. Like, the fact to just be able to, I mean, you get to just play it in, sack one of your, like, non-effective 2 drops that's not doing anything on the board, gain 2 cards.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not amazing, but, I mean, like, a 2/3 flying for 4 is almost playable anyway. Like, it's not great, but you would play, like, a 2/4 flyer for 4. And
there's good toughness in the air, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Three toughness.
Like, a lot of stuff in the air is sort of 2/2. Like, a lot of things that generate 2/2 flyers or, like, 2/1 flyers. So 2/3 fly, it's a good body, it's evasive, and you can potentially use it to draw 2 cards, lose 2 life. So
we look
good.
Forward to the reprint of that with some decent art.
Yeah, I like it.
We'll send him an email.
Yeah. Oh, where are we at? So we're doing red next?
Red. Yeah, we're up to red.
Let's go up to red. There's some good stuff in red.
All right. We're going to burn the crap out of now. With what? I've just opened up a Volcanic Vision. I was watching our friend Noah Bradley, who I've had actually been chatting with. Madison and I have been chatting with old Noah. He was doing like the little GIF, animated GIF art of some of the cards he'd done. And he'd done one of this Volcanic Vision. You know, so it's all really pixelated. And there was another one of the burn cards from the last set.
So he does animated pictures for them.
Yeah, but they're really, you know, they're...
He went back and really kind pixelated. Of like Minecrafted them.
Oh, basically.
Yeah, very cool.
Okay.
It's very cool, yeah.
Yeah, so the previous one was Anger of the Gods.
I think the...
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
One of the best ones here is Rending Volley, which is one red. Rending Volley can't be countered by spells or abilities. Rending Volley deals 4 damage to target white or blue creature, which basically just takes the place of that one that people play in Modern. Instead of Combust?
Combust, yeah, exactly.
This is just a straight swap for that, because it still kills everything that Combust kills. But it's only one red, which is much easier to hold up, and the art is cooler.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's
sort of inferring that your flyers are dying there, doesn't it? Because it's white and blue. Yeah.
Oh, it's great. It's a straight swap. So now that's out of the way, let's talk about more interesting things.
So in my...
That's an uncommon as well, so that's, you know, you're going to see it.
This might be, like, my favourite card of the set. Not because I think it's the most powerful, just because I like the way the card makes me feel. Okay. Dragon Whisperer, I brought it up earlier. So it's a 2-red 2-2, so red-red 2-2. It has three abilities. The first one is 1 red, gets flying until end of turn. The second one is colorless red, it gets +1/+0, so it has slightly expensive fire breathing, and it has formidable for 4 red-red, put a 4-4 dragon into play. And this is my favorite art in the set. It's so beautiful. Chris Rullis, I think.
Yeah.
Dude, oh my god, you've done an amazing job. I can't wait to see this card in foil. It's just like, you know,
this is the sort of art that gets painted, airbrushed onto the side of a motorbike petrol tank.
Yeah, it's gonna be, I think it's probably going to be Kian's next tattoo.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I was so tempted.
But in red, this formidable, how many times are you going to have 8 power greater?
Yeah, you're probably going with green, though.
You think?
But
yeah,
I think
so you go for the big...
This is a mono-red
aggro
card,
green red.
Though.
It could be green-red, I think. I think it's like... The problem is that, like, it's really hard to cast. That's the style of deck you want, I think, like green-red ramp. But the
seems like green-red
red
monsters is getting a real,
double red
real
it's
boost,
a, I mean, that's
it?
Just always a generic good deck when you're going into a new format,
yeah,
because it's mana ramp with
ramp
big
and
red
big
and green guys, which is always generically good.
The other thing to remember, though, is, like, mono-red devotion exists. Like, Nykthos is still a thing. Purphoros is still a thing. Like, you know, this plus Purphoros plus any other red 2-drop, like, and suddenly you've got, like, 11 power or something. So, like, the ability is not, like, just think of it, like, it's an early play that's relevant late game. Like, that's
I can
always
see that.
Good.
In mono red devotion, I can see it being really good, actually. You can play it as a 2-drop, ramps your devotion, then you can use Nykthos to power out the formidable once you've activated Purphoros. I like that. I can see that. That's
yeah,
good.
You're
even
like...
without the formidable, though, I think this card's really good.
Yeah, like, if you took formidable off the card,
yeah,
it would
like,
still be playable.
I think this is a good card for the...
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, okay, you're playing
mono
against
red.
Mono red, right? Yeah. They go turn 1, Foundry, 3, Denizen, or Fire Drinker, say that. They go turn 2, this. And they're just bashing you. And as soon as you play something that blocks their dude, they're just like, all right, give it flying, keep hitting you for 2. Like, one mana investment to give it suitable unblockable in, like... I'm going to lose this card
plus,
a lot.
I mean,
this card is going to kill me.
There's a lot of 2s in red now. So they red have this, and also the 2s they already had.
Yeah, and they have good ones now as well with Zergo Bellstriker.
Yeah, Zergo Bellstrikers. Who
two,
were
two,
just talking
two,
about
one.
One.
We haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
legendary
two for one mana. Yeah, legendary.
Got Isamaru, Hound of Kozoma.
What was that guy?
Yeah, Isamaru. Hmm?
Zergo.
Zergo
Bellstriker.
Zergo
Bellstriker.
This guy
what?
Used to be Zergo Helm Smasher, right? He used to be a huge guy, and now he's just this little guy that likes Zergo Bellstriker.
I mean, I would like to point out that technically, if Zergo Bellstriker versus Zergo Helm Smasher, 7-2 versus 2-2, they trade.
No, he's indestructible on your turn.
Yeah, we'll ignore that.
I mean, it's legendary rules. Old rules as well. Just
so here we have Zergo Bellstriker, who for 1 red mana is a 2-2, who cannot block creatures with power 2 or greater. But you're in red, so you don't really care.
No.
And you can dash him into play, if you like. Legendary creature, Orc Warrior. Yeah. He's good. He's really good.
This card is I'm going to lose games to this card as well. Like,
you are.
The mono red deck is real. You have the one mana 1/1 with dash and fire breathing.
Lightning Berserker. Yeah,
yeah, that card is so scary because like if you ever tap out and they top deck it and have like 7 mana, you just took 7 damage.
It seems neat, man. There's some other cool cards. So I think Thunderbreak Regent is good as well. Again, it has the problem of being at that 4-drop slot for red, right aggro. So it's a 4-cost, 2 colorless, 2 red. It's a 4/4 flyer. Its ability is whenever it gets targeted by a spell or ability, it does 3 damage to that player. So you can sort of see it in like maybe a Jeskai mid-range deck where you're playing a Mana Strider for 3, which you can get in immediately with the 3 damage. Then you can follow this up with this on turn 4. If they kill it, it also gets in for 3, so it basically gets you value even if they kill it. So I think it's good. Like, I like this card. Again, it's just pretty hard in the 4-drop slot.
What about, like, I was just flicking through, and the art on this one jumped out at me, and it's a Raymond Swanland, and it seems to read pretty good. Yeah, I'm looking at Boltwing Marauder. He's a 3 for a swamp and a mountain. He's a dragon, so he's flying. He's a 5/4 flyer. So even that sounds all right to me, right? Is that 5 cost, 5/4 flyer?
It's a 5/3, isn't it?
It's a 5/4. And whenever any other creature enters the battlefield under your control, target creature gets +2/+0 until end of turn.
If this card read, when Boltwing Marauder or any other creature enters the battlefield, do this, standard playable.
If
it's in haste. Yeah. If it's in haste, I think this card is too good.
Yeah, if it's in haste, it would be in. But like, without haste, I don't know. I think, like, Stormbreath Dragon is my boy. This is not
like if this had haste, it might like create an its own archetype. Like, black red dragons would just suddenly be.
I mean,
you've
got Dragon Tempest, man. You can Dragon Tempest into this guy. To go deep.
The thing that caught my eye about this art, though, from Swanland is just because it's got the charging horses in the foreground, and that gives you scale. And then in the background, you just got this monstrous dragon flying over the top with lightning flying out all over the place. And it just, you know, it just gives you that, you know, fantasy kind of element
of what's going down.
It would just be epic. Just the weight of the creatures that are going on. This is very cool.
So, Dave, as an art aficionado, fair?
No.
Do you like Dragon Lord Servant's art? Purely on art, is okay.
Right.
But I just love the art on this card. It's this tiny, tiny goblin with this huge plate of meat. Obviously about to feed a dragon. It's great.
Yeah, no,
Dragon 7 is amazing. Yeah, it looks gorgeous.
My question is, how bad does Twin Bolts look?
Before we move off
that
from...
That card is really good.
It's good, but look at the picture on it. Like, it looks like they gave up drawing her face at some point and never went back to it.
Which one was
concentrating.
That?
Twin Bolt.
No, that's the other end of the alphabet. Yeah. Before we move away from Dragon Lord Servant... Marshall, our friend from Limited Resources, I saw him made a tweet about Dragon Lord's Servant because, you know, their mascot, Elmer, he notes that Elmer's ending on someone's dinner plate there because it's like Elmer's head and like an antler or two is just hanging up from bits of Elmer. It's been chopped up. So, yeah, upsetting times for Limited Resources. I'll now look at your other one.
Okay, where are we up to now? So we're looking at
Grey. We're talking about Twin Bolt.
Oh, the beauty
of
Twin Bolt.
We'll move on to Grey.
It's right next to the beautiful tormenting voice.
Before, if we're done with red, we'll blob. We'll get back with a bit of MTG card quiz. Any other red cards to finish off?
I really like Commune with Lava, though. I don't think many other people will. It's X red red instant. Exile the top X cards of your library until your next turn. End of your next turn, you may play those cards. So it's pseudo card draw in red in a very red way. Which I really like, basically.
Flavor. MTG Card Quiz 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
13.
It's going to be good.
We're back. Right, MTG Card Quiz. This is Fate Reforged as it doesn't go out. Because we've just learnt. Well, you know, I thought that was... Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, MTG Card Quiz number 12, at least.
Number 12.
Yeah. Right, you ready? Ready, everyone?
Let's do this.
Got
already. I was
born heads
ready.
Down, pens ready.
Question
All right.
12.
Question 12. Which creature card in Fate Reforged is the only one to always have hexproof? Which creature card in Fate Reforged is the only one to always have hexproof? There you go.
Oh. God, you killed me with it, didn't you?
I don't know. God, I thought you'd have been. You'd
I keep thinking not save you more because it's in my nightmares in this format, but that's from Cars.
There is a rule about. Well, it's not a rule. You're more welcome to say whatever you want, but Kian has said the name of the answer to the question.
That's what I did with Riley last time as well.
Accidentally.
So.
Yeah.
Banking on this time.
Okay, let's do this. Okay, so we've got. It always has hexproof.
It always has hexproof. Question 13. For listeners at home, that means number two. Which Defender card in Fate Reforged is the only one to have the Flash ability? So which
I know the Defender mana cost, card? I know the text, but I don't know what it's called.
This is his, like, before the show, he was explaining how he does maths just by not doing any of the working out and just coming up with the answer. This is a similar kind of argument,
but doesn't
it?
Know how he did the working out either. He just goes, I look at it and then I just see the I know
but
the answer.
In this case, he doesn't know the working out. He doesn't either know the answer.
No, in this case, isn't this he's saying, I know the working out. I know everything about this card except its name, which is the important thing. That's the one key thing that you need. So which Defender card in Fate Reforged is the only one to have the Flash ability? And we all love a Defender card, I'm sure.
God, I've got to move this away from Ken, man. He's got prying eyes over the side of the table, man. Jeez.
Yeah, he will cheat. I think that's how he did that math test where he just got the answers and not the working out. Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
All right, what's our next one?
All right, question number 12, 13, 14 is in Fate Reforged, all of the artifact cards are uncommon except for one. Ooh. What is the name of this card?
Uncommon, non-uncommon artifacts?
No, in Fate Reforged, all of the artifact cards are uncommon. Except for one.
Okay.
What is the name of this card?
Shit.
Yeah. No, that's probably wrong.
It could be in there. Shit. You never know.
Ancient crap. Is there? All right. So the competition begins for who will do the outro. Loser of the competition does the outro.
Let's go. What were the questions again? The first one's always as hexproof.
Yeah. Well, I'll read them out as we go through and do the scoring of them. All right. So, are you ready? Question one was, which creature card in Fate Reforged is the only one to always have hexproof? Riley, what have you got?
I put Silumgar.
Kian, what do you got?
He is correct, but I didn't know the answer. I forgot.
The same, yeah. Oh, look at the honesty around the table. Riley, one up.
Oh, yeah,
I kept trying to think of, like, uncommons and commons. I just completely forgot about
it. Now, didn't you guys mention it earlier on?
Yeah, we did.
Hexproof. He was better because he had hexproof.
Silumgar is good because it has hexproof all the time.
Yeah.
So it's Tyrol. I just wanted to give a chance, man.
Half an hour later, no idea which card. Right. Question two. Which Defender card in Fate Reforged is the only one to have the Flash ability? Kin.
Jeskai Barricade.
Oh, he got it.
What did you say?
Dale's the same. Yeah.
You were the same?
I wrote John.
John.
That's his name.
Oh. He was right. It is Jessica Barricade, which evens things up. It's one all right across the table.
I spent 10 seconds while you're asking the question, drawing the art to try and remember its name.
Drawing the art.
What was the third question again?
Well, you're about to hear it because you're up with the answer first.
I got this.
In Fairy Forged, all of the artifact cards are uncommon except for one. What is the name of this card? Rob.
Is it Dragon Throne of Takir? No, it's the Lens of Clarity thing. Oh, right. It's whatever it's called.
Both of those are in cons.
But you know the card I mean. It's the one where the guy's holding the picture in the thing, I think, and you can look at face down cards. Is that it?
No, that's in cons.
That's Lens of Clarity.
And so you've probably listed enough. Just list all the artifacts. Is it the... No, yeah.
I have... Sword of the one that automatically attaches to legendary creatures.
Hero's Blade.
Hero's Blade.
My guess as well.
The answer is Scroll of the Masters.
Hero's Blade is from the last set.
It has lore counters on it, doesn't it?
Forced. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put a lore counter on Scroll of the Masters. 3 and tap it. Target creature you control gets +1/+1 until end of turn for each lore counter.
Right.
There you go. So
we're all on one. Let's have a look at this card art you've drawn, Kid.
Yeah.
Where is it?
I'm curious.
Wow. It's exactly the same as the actual card.
I just had the name written down. I feel like I'm underachieving here.
Right. Well,
I was like, white, the sticks with the things on top on either side.
Look at this. That's what the art looks like, apparently.
It's stick figure art. That's good, though. It works.
Rubbish. It's tied up. We'll be back. All right, welcome back after that blob. Awesome stuff. Thanks for Aaron, lead guitar. We're up to green in the spoilers. Who wants to start off with a green card?
I will start off with mine, Sorok Hunt Leader, I think.
Hunt Caller.
Hunt Caller.
Calls the
Hunt. Don't say that too quick.
He is a 2 green green 5/4, so yeah, reasonable stats. And he has Formidable. If you control 8 or more power, at the beginning of each combat, target creature gains haste.
Now, really we're sweet. Green, so we're probably going to might... Good chance of seeing the Formidable thing happening.
Yeah, yeah, and like you only need 3 other power for him to work.
Yeah,
you know,
he's already 5, isn't he?
Yeah, so like you just have an Elvish Mystic and a Courser of Grookix, or Elvish Mystic and any 2-drop.
Yeah, how often do you have them in play? You know?
In Limited.
Screw Limited. I'm talking about Constructed, people.
All right. Is that it? Sorak, the Hunt Caller?
Good Commander, Kian. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Good Commander. Yes. That's what I'm all about. Yes. That's what I was looking at.
But
great
no,
commander.
I'm not playing it.
Great Commander.
Who have you got? Who have you got, Rob?
I'm going to go for, if we're just picking one, maybe Collected Company. So it's the 3 colorless, 1 green. You get to look at the top 6 cards of your library and put any 2 creature cards with converted mana cost 3 or less onto the battlefield. So you basically can, it's instant speed as well. So this is 4 mana cost.
Instant
you're
going to
be playing in sort of a green-white aggro deck or like a green-red sort of aggressive deck. You know, you can look at the top 6 at the end of your turn. You can put Rabble Masters into play. You can put basically any sort of huge creatures that are into play at the moment that we've got sitting. You know, the sort of curve at the moment in standard is 3 cost or less is where huge creatures sit. So you can bring Brimazes in. You can bring a bunch of things in, like Anofenza if you're playing it in Abzan. You can get yourself a huge amount of card advantage. And putting them directly into play is huge because it's not only card advantage getting 2 cards to 1, but it's also a huge tempo advantage because... Ideally, you're getting 6 mana cost of creatures into play
for 4.
For 4 mana,
yeah,
exactly.
That's what it basically works down to, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 Riley.
Oh, my pick has to be Shaman of Forgotten Ways. So it's 2 colorless, 1 green for a 2/3 that has tap it, add 2 mana in any combination of colors to your mana pool, and spend that mana only to cast creature spells. But the bit I am excited about is the formidable
the
ability.
Picture.
Also, the picture is cool. where for 9 colorless mana and 2 green mana, you tap it and each player's life total becomes the number of creatures he or she controls.
Wow.
And that is a...
We haven't seen mad numbers like 11 mana for a while, have
no,
we?
No, but in the green, like...
Yeah.
Even in the current standard, the green decks can quite... Not too
it's
difficult.
Nykthos is what does it right
mana.
Now. I mean,
yeah.
There's green-white devotion decks at the moment that they're pumping out you 30
but
mana
this
in
is,
turn.
This, so. This formidable ability, yeah. it's a spell called Biorhythm, which is banned in Commander. But yeah, it does exactly the same thing, and I'm really excited to see that on a creature.
Also, so that's going to get some... You reckon that one's going to get some play? Is that like a win condition?
Definitely not.
No.
It'll really upset control players, but there's no way a control player is ever going to let you have 8 power in play. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's just because it's a fun card.
It's a very fun card. And the picture is like, it's something from like an unhinged type of set, isn't it? It looks like he's got some sort of brain control device with antlers hanging off of it.
Isn't that a scene from The Evil Dead?
It looks like someone that came up in Lost. Anyway.
I mean, you can get this guy, you can tap him for your 2, you can get your early attacker, your 8/8 dragon trampler that rats their board, and then you can untap next turn and potentially use its ability off Nykthos. I mean, it's doable.
You could definitely do it.
Even just a mana tap, is he worth it for a 3-drop to just the tap
so
and get 2?
So only cast for creatures, that's the important bit. So it doesn't actually just give you... Gave you just 2 mana, it'd be pretty good. But
right.
Like it only can be used on creatures.
I think in green, that's what you're casting. So
yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
So I think ramping 2 is not a bad trade-off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Green.
Keen,
what do you got?
What? I already gave
you
mine.
Gave us yours, right?
You gave
his was Serac. He was Serac the Hunt Caller.
I wasn't
so memorable.
Listening.
That's...
Anyway.
All right, what have we got up next? What's our
gold cards?
To gold.
Artifacts?
Gold cards.
So
first.
We can't choose the Dragon Lord or the Commands.
Already done, okay.
Enduring Scale Lord, that's my pick.
Enduring Scale?
Yeah, 2 of these go infinite, which is super interesting.
Yeah, because this card goes infinite with itself. So it has, whenever another creature has a 1/1 counter placed on it, place a 1/1 counter on Enduring Scale Lord. So if you have 2 of them in play, they infinitely put counters on each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Whenever one or more plus one counters are placed on another creature you control, you may put a plus one counter on Enduring Scaloi.
Yep, so they self-trigger to infinity. And
it's just uncommon as well. So yeah. You can expect in Limited to potentially have two, and then any trick that puts one counter on anything, you get two infinity
yeah, and six mana isn't terribly unachievable. It's a 4/4 flyer, just like basically every dragon. So that's my pick for the gold cards.
So is that serious? So we've got, you cast two of these, you just got infinitely stupid big.
Yeah.
You do have to put a 1/1 counter on
it. Yeah, you have to have an effect that puts a 1/1 counter on it, but that's not too difficult in this set. Mm.
And then you have an infinite.
Then you have two infinite flying dragons.
I don't even know. I think my brain just exploded.
It's very cool. It's going to kill people limited, no question about
it. Don't even die to ultimate price.
Okay, so what else we got in gold? We got Narset Transcendent, so the Planeswalker, obviously like the best, one of the best gold cards. It's $50 or $60 at the moment. It's ridiculously priced. So this guy is a 4-cost Planeswalker. It's 2 colorless, 1 white, 1 blue. Comes in with 6 loaded, which is insane, so like it's really hard to kill. Its abilities are you can plus 1 it to look at the top card of your library. If it's non-creature, non-land, you can put it in your hand. So effectively like the reverse of the old Domri Ray, which let you get creatures. This one just lets you get non-creature, basically. So non-creature, non-land. And then its other ability is you can cast your next sorcery instant spell and it gains rebound. So you can effectively play this guy, you know, draw a card the first turn that he's there, potentially. And then next turn you can negate to rebound any of your amazing spells. So you can stoke the flames to do 4 damage to something, rebound it to make it 8 the next turn. You can wrath, like Kim was saying earlier, then rebound the wrath so they can't play any creatures that turn. Very, very interesting card. We're going to see if it's worth $50. I don't think so, but it's very, very cool. Yeah.
So the telling thing about this card that tells you that it's very good is when you think about what you're going to do with this card and you're excited to rebound low-costing spells. So when I first saw this card, I was like, oh man, I'm going to rebound a Treasure Cruise. I'm going to rebound a Dig Through Time. And that's living the dream. That is obviously absurd. But if you rebound and anticipate, that's a Dig Through Time. If you rebound a Lightning Strike, you're just 2-for-1 your opponent. Like, these are way more realistic. Gonna happen a lot, and still really good.
Hmm. All right, so that was gold cards. Anything else anyone wants to mention? There's quite a few.
We should probably talk about Sarkhan, seeing as we've talked about...
Sarkhan is...
No, what was your pick for gold cards?
My pick for gold cards is going to be Sarkhan.
Let's see it.
For the sweet art.
So I'm going to be the unpopular person, and I'm actually going to put a foot in the stand.
In the stand?
And
yeah.
In the stand, and I'm going to say that Sarkhan is better than Narset.
I'm going to draw a line in the sand, in the sand.
Best foot forward.
He's going to put his foot in the sand and the sand in his mouth, or something, I don't know.
Yeah. I like the fact that Sarkhan always draws your card. That's really good.
That's good. I actually think Sarkhan is better than Narset. Now, I think Narset is going to be played more, but that is because Narset is a 2-color planeswalker while Sarkhan is 3. So I think Sarkhan is a better card and more powerful and will be more impactful, but Narset will see more play because she is less color restrictive.
No, Sarkhan's great. He does everything you'd want to do later on in the game.
Yeah.
He draws a card and makes mana.
Sarkhan is 2, green, blue, red. He starts off at 4 loyalty. He has a +1 ability that adds 1 mana to your mana pool and draws a card. The mana color can be whatever. His -2 ability is put a 4/4 dragon into play. And his -8?
Yep.
-8 is search your library for any number of dragon creatures and put them into play.
Hmm.
So
he basically doesn't have a -8 ability. He has no ultimate effectively, unfortunately.
That's what I thought.
You're ever going to realize the power of 4 Stormbreath
the dark
dragons.
Side.
Yeah, I mean,
like, if you're playing a teamer deck.
But you could have already just had 2/4 dragons by
probably have drawn
but
them.
Like, yeah. So I've been playing with this card, and something which people don't think about is the amount of times you just want an extra mana. You know, like, it's your 6th turn, you play it, you tick it up, you roast a dude. It's your 6th turn, you tick it up, you lightning strike a dude. Like, that extra mana matters a lot. And I've actually had games where I'm like, play it, tick it up, do my thing, play it, tick it up, do my thing. Sorry, just tick it up, do my thing, your turn. Tick it up, do my thing. And I wasn't even thinking about, man, maybe I should make some dragons. And suddenly I realized it was on 9 loyalty. And I was just like, oh, negate, 4 Stormbreath Dragons, you're dead. Like, it wasn't I was ticking him up to get to ultimate.
It strikes me that this card is all going to be about the first two abilities.
Yeah.
The -8 thing, I can't ever see that
just
happening.
Like, same with Narset, like -9. Her emblem is a fantastic dream. You get an emblem with your opponents can't cast non-creature spells, which just destroys an awful lot of decks.
Yeah.
So,
but like, it's just it's. I mean, it only takes three turns for her to get there. But
yeah, this you're looking at four turns.
Yeah, four turns.
So it's a big hosiery and sort of blue-black and Soul-Tie control strategy. So if you can resolve this guy and then protect it for a couple of turns against a control deck, which usually only has Heroes Downfall to kill it,
they die.
Then they're just dead, yeah.
The,
but you're right, it's such a powerful combo of being able to draw a card and having some more mana there.
Yeah, so it's great. It does everything you need
and
to do to keep going.
He's naturally in Corsair of Crucifix's colors, so that's really good as well. The final thing I would say about Sarkhan before we probably move on is Sarkhan, you can play four of it in a deck because the way it works in multiples is so good.
Yes.
Because on turn five, you play Sarkhan, you take it down. On your turn six, you take it down, play another Sarkhan. And like it like
it's very mulch him into dragons.
Yeah, it's very similar to how Sorin feels. So Sorin's four loyalty, four converted mana cost. You play it, tick it down, get a 2/2. Tick it down, 2/2. It dies. You play another one, and that just like it feels good and easy. Whereas with Narset, you can't play four because it's just going to stay in play forever. So it's a bit like Elspeth. You probably only want two or three.
Or you just ultimate Sauron like I did last week and just watch your opponent sacrifice a creature every round, which is
it
awesome.
Is, it is so beautiful.
Like, I'm not going to attack this time, but now it's your turn. You can just kill that guy or just want it for someone you didn't like too much. So Sarkhan Unbroken, we did put it out to the listeners. Ugliest card ever.
This is my second favourite art in the set.
I get the feeling that Alexei Bricklew was just asked, he said, well, this is a green, blue, and red card. I want you to use just all of the colours and just smudge them all together. And I've got the background just looks like he's, what he's done is he's had a rainbow paddle pop and just dropped it in a bowl and just stirred it after about 15 minutes and then just drawn that. And it's just like this blue and red mess.
So he's actually at Ugin's Nexus. Like, that's where he is thematically, which is sweet. And this is actually the game day, Matt, and I'm super excited for that because I love this art and I will.
It does look a lot better.
I'm going to do my damnedest to win.
As most of these things, it looks a lot better when you can see the full art. I do like how there's a bridge in the background that's going off into a distance that kind of looks like a tail coming off of him, you know, because he's the Mr. Dragon. But you know,
there's some of the other art in the set. It's a bit dull, isn't it?
I don't know. I'd want to have looked at the other. I mean, what happened to the Darkens Sarkhan, you
he's
know.
He's unbroken, though.
Yeah.
It's bright now. It's
okay, so he's
back. He's unbroken.
He looked amazing before. He was like, he was on fire.
He
his eyes were glowing.
Man, he was broken. You never know. That guy's crying himself to sleep, you know.
His eyes are still glowing a little bit, but he's just not fire. He looks like he's an explorer, you know. He's like, I'm declaring this plane on behalf of His Majesty's service or something.
Like, look at this really cool
service.
Stick
he's just like, he's just like, I'm the dude. I've saved Ugin.
Yeah,
like I am the man. Right. That is this Sarkhan.
Oh, no. Sight Beyond Sight annoyed me more, only because it didn't have anything to do with the Thundercats.
So. All right, so we're moving on to artifacts.
Oh, all right.
So there's some fairly
there's 14 of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of them, but we'll only talk about one cycle because they're going to probably be the most impactful cycle. And these are the monuments. So every color combination has one. We've mentioned them before. They're basically mana rocks. They cost 3 and tap for both colors. Now, two things to note. One, you can tap them on their first turn. So if you need color fixing and you've got 3 extra mana, go for it. You can tap it the first time. And their second ability is 6. And depending on which clan they're associated with, it is 4.
And they're all, named
colors.
After the
yeah, so it's like Colligan's Monument, Sulengar's Monument, and they're all just 4/4 dragons. You just turn them into a 4/4 dragon and attack. It's sweet.
Do you guys agree? Yeah, happiest with those from the artifacts?
It just depends. I mean, the thing is that it's these are the only color fixing in this block, so in like this set, so maybe you have to play them, so they could be good. So we'll see. There's nothing else amazing. I mean, Keeper of the Lens is the card I was thinking of before in the guess a card quiz. So that's the one cost one that just lets you look at any. It's a 1/2 artifact guy that lets you look at any face down creatures.
Yeah. I like that scroll with flavor text about the old clans, but I can't remember what it does.
And other fascinating tales.
Yeah.
Is 6 mana for a 4/4 dragon that's going to just turn back into nothing? It's a lot.
So, but the way you look at it is this is like a 3-cost mana ramping rock that effectively late game you can turn into a dragon for value when you tapped out. When you got like
nothing. You just want to throw everything out.
So it's just value. I mean, it's just good. It's value. It's pretty slow. So we'll see if it's good enough. It depends on what the
There was a control deck back in Return to Ravnica Gatecrash that made use of key runes to just kill people. So you control the game and then just slowly kill people with key runes. And potentially that's something you could do with these, but 6 mana is an awful lot to sink into this.
Well, it's not for standard, definitely, but maybe in limited.
I'm a little bit sad that they don't have unique abilities.
Yeah.
So, like, the last time we saw key runes, every single guild got their own kind of variation on it. I'm just a little bit sad that they're all 4/4s. Like,
just vanilla 4/4. Well, they're flying, but that's it.
Yeah, but, like, they're all the same. And I'm like, well, Silumgar's one should have a bigger butt, you know. Ataka's one should have more power, you know. Like
or fire breathing or something.
Yeah, like, it's just, like, it's... I'm just a little bit sad that they're all the same.
Maybe they've just got, like, one guy that can make dragon statues. So he's, like, the only dude in the whole, like, area. And he's, like, made all these statues. They're all just the same. He's, like, give me one that looks just like that dude's statue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This guy's just made all the statues. Like, they're all the same, dude. That's just how I roll.
Maybe they are
it's
all
my
the
style.
Same. And he just sold them off as different statues.
Exactly, that's it. Just, like, painted them slightly differently.
Yeah, covered them in the different colours.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've had any artifacts that can have really, you know, been...
done anything.
Yeah, super impactful, isn't it? And I really like how the artifacts kind of work, you know, just gear that you can attach to your dudes and have. That seems like a great, like, flavoursome story thing to have. And I don't know, it always seems like they just let
us
down a little bit.
Fireblade was probably the last good one for limited.
Very good.
The last good one for constructed was probably the swords from Scars of Mirrodin.
Oh, just the recent set, Scars of Mirrodin.
Yeah. I mean,
like Skullplant. There's some good artifacts out there.
In terms of, like, magic history, Scars of Mirrodin is recent.
Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. Okay, so for lands, there's apart from the basic lands, there's just the two. There's an Evolving Wilds.
Which is the prettiest Evolving Wilds.
That's like one of my favourite art. I've already got a couple of the foils put aside.
It looks nice.
That's awesome.
The different one that you get for the pre-release promotion is also... I think slightly better.
I don't like that one.
It's not as good. It's not as good as this one.
It's torn opinions here. I like
We'll go to the Haven of the Spirit.
So basically, the verdict is there's no good lands in this set at all. Haven of the Spirit Dragon, it's okay. You can pay two.
What? It's just another sacrifice
of return. I don't like this card.
Okay, this card will be
tell us what it does
in standard before 3 months.
What does it do, Ken?
Haven of the Spirit Dragon taps for colorless mana. You can also tap it to add any color mana for a dragon, and then you can tap two and sacker it to return a dragon from the graveyard to your hand.
Four of's in standard. All right, let's see, in 3 months.
So, and four of Tomb of the Spirit Dragon too, is it? Four of these.
So the reason why I think this card will be a four of is actually because of mono red. So mono red now has 8 dragons, which are really good, and mono red doesn't have huge mana requirements, and when you kill a Stormbreath Dragon, and then next turn they're like, oh, you know, I'll just take that Stormbreath Dragon back and then hit it with you again. Like,
no, that's not really how it works. It's like the next turn you have to sack this, pay two, lose this land as well, then return it to your hand, then the following turn.
Mono red doesn't operate on many lands, and now you have four essentially colorless lands for most of your deck.
Red Devotion does.
So the claim is, I want to see it, so four Haven of the Spirit Dragons in 3 months in mono red.
Okay,
that's
maybe
from
four
Kian.
Was an overstatement, but three.
Okay, three in mono red. I totally can't see that.
Keep talking, Rob. We'll have him down to one in a minute.
Exactly. I think it's like a barter. He's like, well, take two.
I think we can all agree that Mithrealize is going to be a bigger card.
I think this is not good. I don't think this card is going to see play. Maybe like as a one-off to return Ugin in some things, but I think it's
what do you want
good.
To bet, Rob?
I mean, we're betting your dignity. So, like, I mean, I guess it's not high stakes then.
Oh!
Gosh.
So, we've wrapped it up. Is there any cards that we've not mentioned or any cards that you think are, you know, they're selling for 10 cents now that are going to be worth 80 within, you know, the...
There's nothing really. Like, the only cards that are, like, good in this set basically are already incredibly expensive. So, Nasa.
Yeah, there's
like,
going to be no Banana King coming out.
There's no new Tassica, unfortunately.
Top flavor text goes to Epic Confrontation, in my opinion, which has, no matter the timeline, some legends still endure, and it's a picture of Surok punching a dragon in the face.
Who was the bear punch from the last set.
Whereas we didn't have Savage Punch in Karns.
Which was Garrett. given the...
which was Surak again. What was it? Punching a bear in the face.
That's his legacy. His legacy continues. So the timeline's changed, but you can't stop this guy being a shit out of huge animals, man.
Yeah, this guy just punches animals, and that's what he's into.
Yeah, man, damn.
And he's really good at it, so...
All right,
cool.
Yeah. Oh, we'll come back with some flavor text and sort out this tiebreaker situation we have.
Flavor text.
Perfect, Riley. Flavor Bang text. On. Just as in, just like we did in rehearsals.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Ba-da-ba-da-ba. For those of you, flavor text, it's back. We've got three cards, all of them. Have flavor text.
Three cards, three people, one room.
Only we'll one leave. Winner.
Well, it's four people.
Or
yeah, but
a
he's
draw.
Not playing.
Oh, okay.
Flavor text number 13, which makes you think that the MTG card quiz might have been 13 earlier on. Anyway. She speaks only in whispers, but can be heard over the fiercest storm.
How are you doing the answers?
Like,
you
do write
write them down.
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 Okay. Yeah, write them down. Or Kieran's just going to say them.
She speaks only in whispers, but can be heard over the fiercest storm.
Did we clarify, is this only from like Fate Reforged or
this
something?
The theme is Fate Reforged. Okay, flow text number 2. The shifting wastes provide refuge to those who know where to look for it. The shifting wastes provide refuge to those who know where to look for it.
Earlier. Yeah, we just saw this. I can't remember what it was, though.
Where's the Buster Booster?
Yeah. Some of these are looking familiar from earlier. I don't know, maybe. Okay, and flavor text number 3. The best swords are forged with dragonfire. The best swords are forged with dragonfire. Okay, there you have it. The three flavor texts for this evening. Wait, ready for your answers? It's tied up. It's 1-1. The loser does the outro.
Six stakes, let's see it.
We didn't agree to that.
We didn't agree. Ken, do you not do good? Let's see it.
Nah.
See, Ken's like, oh, we didn't agree to that. But yeah, if he comes out in front, we're totally agreeing to it, right?
He's like, yeah, I'll bet on it as long as I definitely win.
Well,
yeah.
The three of us agreed that Ken was doing it regardless.
It's either Ken's doing the outro or the loser of this does the outro. So what are we agreeing on?
Oh, God.
we'll just go with the loser. Okay. The loser of this.
Riley.
Yes.
What have you got for... She speaks only in whispers, but can be heard over the fiercest storm.
I said Dromoka, but that's definitely not what it is.
I'm going to go for Whisper of the Wilds, because whispers in the words.
Oh, right. That's good.
And what have you got, Kian?
I can picture the card, but I have no idea what it is. Pass.
The answer is Whisper of the Wilds.
Is that, can you picture that card or
no, it was something different.
All right.
Yeah. I thought she speaks only in whispers but can be heard over the fiercest storm.
Yeah,
Whisperer of the Wilds.
Yeah.
Someone said.
That's good.
Okay, Kian, you're up. It's 2 to Rob, 1 to Riley and Kian. The shifting wastes provide refuge to those who know where to look for it.
Encroaching wastes. Oh no, that's not the name of one of the... It's like the blue-black...
That's the name, mate. You're out.
It's the name.
That's not the rules.
Rob,
that's not the competition.
What have you got?
I'm going to go Secure the Wastes.
Secure the Wastes. And
it's
what
much better than the world.
Is that from Dragons? I don't know.
Secure the Wastes.
I think it's like the
Shifting
blue
Sands.
Black.
That's got to be
shifting,
a card.
Dismal
shifting
Blackwater.
Sands. You made up a card.
It's got to be a card.
But you're all wrong. It's Harsh Sustenance. You know the one where they're all sitting around eating a dragon that they've found in the Shifting Wastes?
Nope. Don't know that one.
There's no sustenance in that text. How are we meant to get that?
Because they're providing refuge. Oh, they're sort of hiding in the shelter of a fallen dragon and the sand's blown away.
Something like that.
Does. We could have a big tiebreaker. Rob gets this wrong. Riley and Kian.
Damn.
All right. No.
Rob, what have you got? The best swords are forged with dragonfire.
I couldn't think of anything, but I've got bathe in dragonfire.
Bathe in dragonfire.
That's kind of my strategy.
We actually talked about this card earlier. Both me and Riley have slammed
Hero's Blade.
It's not Dragon Whisper, right?
Hero's Blade.
The answer is Hero's Blade. So it's tied up. Two everywhere.
Right. Three of us are doing the outro?
Yeah.
Are we all winners?
You're all losers and you're all winners, so you're all doing it.
Oh, great. right.
Teamwork, let's see it. All I'm excited.
Right. We'll word each.
We'll look into the archives of some neats and twos and we'll be back. Neats and twos!
Tweets and news!
You're not allowed to say tweets and news. You'll give away the subtle,
hidden
stuff. No, you know, no one knows what neats and twos.
I didn't know the first time out. I was just like, what is this? Doesn't know these words?
It's
or
a typo.
We've got neats and twos coming in from all over the place. But first of all, we want to... Kian, tell us some friends of ours have been over to a place called Auckland.
So GP Auckland
in
happens.
In New Zealand.
There was about 300 players and... two people from Perth went over. They both did too, which was really exciting. Aaron Graham and Paul Jackson.
God, sounds familiar. Aaron Graham?
I don't know.
Yeah.
If you have a look on the coverage page, PGX was actually in the feature match twice, so you can read about his games and how he crushed his opponents. Their final records, I think Aaron was 10 wins and 5, and
got
I think PGX was 13 wins and 3.
But Aaron finished day one on one loss. He was killing it. He was like ranked 11th or something overall
That's
out of
awesome.
The field on the end of day one.
Yeah, so like,
amazing.
Spectacular, you know.
Yeah.
Day two-ing a GP is not easy. And both of them did reasonably well. Like, PJX got 13th. He was one draw. If he had the same amount of wins, one less loss and a draw, he would have top 8.
Wow.
Like, that's how close PJX was, and Aaron was only just slightly behind at 30.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's like, it comes down to such fine fine differences at the end on those things.
Well, the smallest decision can just change it.
When you need to cut from 300 people down to 8, you know.
Yeah,
some big cuts, yeah.
Upcoming events, Good Games is hosting the Super Series very soon.
Right. What's going to happen in that?
Should be 2 weeks from the... release of this podcast, 4th of April. First prize is their name on the trophy, which is very exciting. But it's a standard tournament, which is just after the new set comes out. So if you're a brewer, get your brewing on, because it'll be all exciting and no one will have any idea what the cards do.
Yeah. And a massive trophy to get your name on as well now. It's like standing in the corner.
It's really sweet, too.
Yeah, come and have a look at it. It's in a stock.
And I believe first place is... a bunch of store credit, name on the trophy, and free entry to...
3 months worth of events, I think it is.
Yeah, which is really sweet.
Also bragging rights.
Bragging rights, clearly the most important.
Yeah. Okay, and so before the show, we had a bit of fun with Sarkin Unbroken. But most people came down on the side of he's a bit of all right. Yeah, Linda Barnwell here was saying he's a bit of all right. Just evidence there that was what was said. Most of these other people, like someone called Riley, someone called Kian, bloody blah, someone called Rob Grimsey, Tim the Meat Axe, he got in on it. He reckons it's too much like is it Tezzeret or Tezzeret?
Tezzeret.
Good.
He's foreign.
That's how I'd like to pronounce it. He's French.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has a skeleton hand.
Yeah, he does have a skeleton.
So, why is only the final T silent there? Why is it not Ezzeret?
Ezzeret.
Like, we're going for the silent T method here.
Just,
it could just be Ez for sure, you know what I mean? Your boy, Ez.
Yeah.
Ezzy.
It does look, I think Tezzeret. Tezzeret has a bit more dynamism to him. He looks kind of like he's, you know, and his hands like...
He just looks a bit more involved, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's not exploring anything. He hasn't just discovered a new land. Also, in the pre-show interview, I ran into the Meat Axe. He was just hovering, you know, down a back alley somewhere. After I think he just kicked the shit out of some, you know, homeless people or something like that. That's how he rolls, you know?
Casual.
So,
Thursday night, as you do.
Yeah, that's what he does every week.
Yeah. We love our homeless people, by the way, here on Seven Land Hand. That's just how the Meat Axe rolls.
He's motivating.
He was saying that Sarkin was a bit too Rob Zombie for him, and Rob Zombie being a 40-50 year old rocker just didn't hit it for him.
The thing is, if he could draw a card, man, sign me up, you know what I mean? Like Rob Zombie, you know, listen to his track, draw a card, boom, you know.
Forget that, I want to see Meat Axe design a card. Yeah. You know, there's some awesome stuff
crazy.
Going on.
He's busy dunking them in beer, isn't he? Likes winners.
Ooh, yeah, how the likes going? I'll just scroll up the page here. We're on to 176 likes.
Oh, nearly there. 24 to go.
24 to go, and the Meat Axe will be handing out 2 Ale Breath Dragons, unless he's already, like, chewed them and... Probably eating the ale out of them.
He's probably eaten them, but he'll get other ones.
Yeah, I'm sure his cat can knock a beer over some more cards for us.
Yeah.
And yeah, we get to 200 likes, and Mr. Matt McKell will be doing the post-apocalyptic nightmare fantasy flight role-playing game, and you could get mentioned in that.
Yeah.
My goodness. Oh, and because we've got someone, who was that made a bit of mention before? Linda Barnwell. I don't think she has a Hyper Magic Nerd badge, but because she's made a comment, she can come into the store and get herself a Hyper Magic Nerd badge, and so can you if we read out any of your questions. So we're going to be back next week. Yeah, very, very, very quickly, isn't it? Look, this is an extra extra.
Yeah.
So I'll be back next week with Madison Jones and Austin Mengler to talk about the art and artists of Khans of Tarkir and Fate Reforged. And Madison and I can do our gloat about our close encounter with Noah Bradley, which we're all very proud of.
I can't wait to tune in. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, no, those guys are really switched on, and they've got some good art, which we can find about, that, you know, coming off themselves. Like Madison does a lot of card extensions, and Austin's got some sweet art that's up and about in good games. And that's about it.
Yeah.
I reckon we wrap it up. Back with spoilers again in...
Two months. Next spoilers.
Yeah.
It's not very long.
I mean, we already have one. We already know Liliana the healer.
Yeah, well, we've already...
The heretical
the next spoiler
healer.
Show on that one card. It'll be good. It'll be quick.
Is that flip card from a standard set?
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness.
That's the next Magic Origins. Yeah. Yeah. All five planeswalkers are going to be flip cards. I'm really excited.
Yeah, because that's a sweet cut. Yeah, I thought it was coming out in some, you know, just some like one-off offset. No. Yeah, release. Oh, that's
going to be the new format. It's going to be all flip commanders and Dragonlands. That's going to be Kian's new format. He's going to love it.
I'm out. Goodbye. See ya.
All right, Kian's off.
We've got to do the outro, Kian.
All right, we're back and we're gone. That's it. Outro. All right. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Riley.
Our cards have been tarkeared. Our fates have been reforged.
Yeah, and then we're about to drag Dirty K.
Dirty K is coming. This weekend, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kian. Good to have you back in here, man.
Thanks.
It's been a tough pod for you. We've had more people. Hey? No, that was a levitating joke that we had earlier on. Man. And Rob, you've managed to stay.
Oh, it's been good. I've been awake the whole time. It's an achievement.
We've all done this pod on power naps and coming in here absolutely stuffed. So I hope you've enjoyed it.
We have.
Yeah. And we're off.
Cheers, guys.
Eat a fistful of ice cream.
See you guys next time.
Have fun, guys.
Bye-bye.